It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 18th, okay? Did you hear me? I said 18th day of February 2021. I did not say the 8th, I said the 18th. Just checking in there because I screwed up yesterday. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. If you would like to augment your live listening experience, pop on by to HeadOn.live. And you will be immediately greeted by the early arrivers there, the folks who are in the chat room before the tardy bell rings. Yes, indeed. You'll be greeted by Otto and Roger and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space today. Maybe he didn't want to mess up the Perseverance landing, because, right, That's a big thing. I'm a child of the space age, and it just thrilled my soul to see Perseverance land there. And the study of the Earth is geology. So is the study of the structure of Mars, would that be areology? Ares, the god of war, Mars, the god of war. Right. Would that be areology? I don't know. Maybe I should ask my geology pal. But nonetheless, it's a great day. It's a great day for science and for America. And in fact, I had a note from pulling up the email here. I had a note from our pal Cynthia out in the Bay Area just a little bit ago. For the first time in a long time, Robin, I felt proud to be an American today. I feel proud because the team at NASA, JPL, and beyond have come together to land the most complex rover successfully on Mars. I cried upon touchdown. And I certainly understand that because I got the feels too. And let me remind all, this didn't happen with faith. It didn't happen with prayer. It happened with a lot of hard science, engineering, and work. Science. I love it. Go Perseverance. Oh, and fuck the anti-science Trump pansies out there. Science! Yes. I share that entirely, and of course, the memes that are out there showing Raphaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, on the surface of Mars. Hell, it might be warmer than Texas right now. No offense to our friends in Texas. I know how miserable you are, because we've lived through that kind of shit before. Weeks without power after huge snowfalls. Weeks without power after a derecho. No, I know what it is to be a prisoner of your own crappy power grid. And it is a crappy power grid there in Texas. Of course, El Paso is not on that ERCOT grid, and El Paso isn't having any problems. Yeah. No, Texas doesn't have an energy problem. God knows they got plenty of oil, they got plenty of gas. They have a competence problem. And by competence problem, I mean Texas has a Republican problem. Because Republicans don't believe in governance. Republicans don't support governance. Republicans don't support meaningful regulation that can prevent disasters like this. Some 30 people or more are dead in Texas because of people like Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America who lit out for Cancun, and John Cornholio, and the entire Republican, every Republican in the state legislature and every Republican in the Texas delegation to the Congress of the United States. They are all culpable. Every Republican mayor. We were so busy with Dead Rush last night that we didn't get around to the idiot Republican mayor of Colorado City, Texas, who said, you ain't got no right to ask for nothing from no city because we ain't socialists here. And it is, it has been, I would think that maybe there was some Schadenfreude value to it. Because Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, got caught trying to slip off to Cancun with his family. You know, his wife, the one that Nitwit Nero said was an ugly hag, and Ted Cruz just said, well, okay, I mean, if that's what you say, God, Emperor, I guess that's what she'll have to be. Hey, hag, get me a beer. Right. I mentioned Perseverance, and Randy Radar says, they often show the picture of the Mars rovers after landing. My question is, who's there to take the picture? That's a secret. It's the Martians. No. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Oh, by the way, not rubbing it in or anything, but we dodged another one overnight. It's going to get down to 16 or so tomorrow night. But I had an appointment in Beckley today and just got on there. And you know what? I give credit where credit's due. The West Virginia Department of Highways has done a fan-freaking-tastic job keeping the roads open. So I didn't have any problem getting to Beckley and back. And I had to go to Summersville and pick up my son's meds. And yeah. But it was all clear and smooth sailing. Heck, it's 40 degrees out there right now. Isn't the power of the LGBTQ plus agenda amazing when you leverage it? Yes, yes, it is. But like I said, I'm getting ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out this evening to our 18th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks in particular to Grace. Thank you, Grace, so much. Thank you to Charlene, an original member of the Sorority of Leans there in Rogues Island. Thank you to our dear friend in the South Pacific. Thank you to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you all so much. Thank you to our buddy Jessica in Minnesota. Jessica said, I worked in radio for 20 years. Jessica heard my conversation last night with Scott, and said, I worked in radio for 20 years, and you mentioned your hourly wage on Tuesday's program. I started in 1994 at $4.25 an hour, so I give you $12 and still $12.75 for 3 hours work and rounded it up to $13. Thank you, Jessica. That was and Jessica and I then went, because Jessica sent me a picture of her in the studio there, and I was like, dear God, it's a cart machine. There was a cart machine in the background, and I was like, oh. And we talked reel-to-reel and four-track and two-track and chop blocks and things, and had a lovely time. So thank you. Thank you for that, Jessica. That took our fundraising goal down to, let me check here with Brother Deacon Asa. So that takes us down to $968 for a fundraising goal for this week. That means that, let's see, we've got we've got everything, but is that right? No, we finished Monday. We finished Monday, so it's got to be under $900. Sometimes me and the ciphering, but anyway, it's steep and it's scary. But hopefully we'll make it somehow somehow or another. Lee in New York said, "Sorry, I was paying attention to your words. Happy 18th of February." No, no, no. I was just making it. Wasn't you or anybody else? It was me. I was the one that screwed up the day yesterday. I don't know why I said 17th. Exhaustion? Who can tell? But anyway, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. And God knows we've got plenty of thorns. I'll begin simply by pointing out what a delight it is that furious Texans are taking out their frustrations on Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, for trying to bug out to sunny Cancun. When the pictures broke of Rafaelito trying to bug out with his family, well, Texans who are presently at home freezing and without power and without water, their food having spoiled in their refrigerators and their freezers, they've been tweeting pictures to Rafaelito of what their lives are like while he's swanning around the airport in Houston. It was so bad he asked for the Houston cops to help him get to the plane. Houses in wreckage. My house, but I'm glad Ted Cruz is warm and toasty in Cancun. Frozen water pipes, frozen sinks, bowls of ice. I hope you're enjoying Cancun. Meanwhile, at my house, we're melting snow to use as toilet water because our town's water system is down. Enjoy your vacation. It's clear you don't care. And now it appears that he immediately, when hell broke loose, turned around and tried to catch an economy flight back to Texas after he got caught. See, I'm standing in our central Austin kitchen. Our olive oil and liquid dish soap have froze inside my house. No power since early Sunday a.m., no water since yesterday. Ted Cruz is in Mexico. Almost makes you wonder if Texas has the power of referendum and recall. Would a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Texas maybe fill me in on that? Maybe get a petition going and have one less Republican senator, perhaps? A picture of a line outside HEB, the grocery store chain. How's Cancun, Ted? This line at HEB, HEB's SMH. Been without water for 4 days and I can't afford food because you don't make money taking care of my grandfather full time. Not that there's any food at HEB, the only disaster response Texans can actually count on. Hey, Ted, can you stop by the store on your way back? And these vast rows of the meat counter, empty. They've been, among other things, tempting Rafaelito to come back home by posting pictures of the weather in Cancun and Houston. It's 78 in Cancun, mostly clear. It's 32 and cloudy in Houston. Hey, Ted, this is my niece and nephew. They live in a trailer home with my pregnant twin sister and her husband. They live in College Station, Texas. They haven't had electricity since Monday and don't have clean water. We hope you enjoy your Cancun trip. Hey, you know what? This is what happens when you let a multiple bankrupt, failed reality television star and general orange-colored grifter get hold of your government and turn your country into a shithole country. Did I say, hi, I'm Robin? Because I am. That's all. Earther, with a new motto, the new motto for the GOP, We're the Republican Party, not giving a shit about you since 1880. You're welcome, proles. Now get back to effing work. And ain't that the truth? As to the January 18th mix-up, blame it on Joey. His journal yesterday was for Wednesday, February 18th. There's another one I didn't catch. But any port in a storm. Thank you, Billable. Steve in New York, what would Jonathan Swift say? Burn Ted and the family for warmth? You remember the modest proposal wherein he proposed eating spare Irish children? Yeah. That's a joke, Agent Fred. A joke, son. You understand me? The joke. But back to the Perseverance landing. Billable Rick says, here's the script from the Johnson Space Center in Houston just before the rover landing today. Houston, we have a problem. We can't communicate with the Mars rover because there's no power in Texas. Oh, wait, that operation's being handled by JPL in Pasadena, California. Thank God they have power there. This really should be. Because this isn't some freak of nature. Climate change is real, and that means there are going to be greater extremes of weather. Winters are actually getting warmer, but the extremes, the far end of the pendulum, are further cold and further hot. And so this was reasonable and foreseeable and predictable. And then, of course, there's the idiots who bought tropical wind turbines for a place where it does get cold. So, possibly, right? No, it's not the fault of not having blown up enough hillbillies to bring coal out to Texas. It's not because of wind power's unreliability. It's not because the sun doesn't shine on Texas. It's because Texas is full to busting with Republicans. In fact, it reminds me when those little tar balls were washing up on the pristine white sand beaches of the Gulf Coast along the Redneck Riviera of Alabama and Florida. Long, long ago with the Horizon disaster. And I observed, correctly, at that time, that those weren't tar balls washing up on the beaches. That was conservatism. That was small government conservatism. The original explosion on the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform was an explosion of small government conservatism. It wasn't so much the ammonium nitrate that blew up in West Texas some years back, as much as it was an explosion triggered by small government conservatism. I know John Bridavo is fit to be tied. I feel so bad for him and all of our friends in Texas. I feel bad. Because, like I said, I've been through some of this crap. And it's infuriating. That's why this program has so many warnings in it. Oh, we may not be live tomorrow. The wind is supposed to pick up to 15 miles an hour, and that may take down our antiquated coal-fired power grid. Sure. Now, here's the question. Can workaday, everyday Texans wise up? I'm not talking about the Texan members of this community or Bridavo's Blue Dot family. I'm talking about the people who don't pay attention to politics until politics pays attention to them. Yeah. By the way, our pal Christopher in Portland, Senator Milk Carton, never fear Texas. Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is, well, I thought he was here. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Did he really call the police from the airport? What a needle dick nose. He is that. Hope it at least got a third degree sunburn. Right. I certainly do, Senator Milk Carton. Yeah. And, of course, to get the program going, some stern facts about Rush. Oh, I thought we were done with him. Robin! After watching the irresponsible and cowardly Three Stooges in Texas, Abbott, Perry, and Patrick, try to place the blame of their power failure on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. My God, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez probably has more power than the entire LGBTQ plus community combined. But yeah, they did. This is what happens when you get your Green New Deal. No, really. Even though the Green New Deal is not law, has not been passed, it's not come out of committee, and nothing. God, these fools. And there are still Americans who lap it up like a kitty laps cream. It's amazing, really. Then watching most of the Republican senators still trying to justify their vote not to convict Trump, Jeffrey has come to the Joint Journal full of energy and powerful conclusion. Jeffrey believes, and we understand how dangerous that word is. It is the single most dangerous word in the English language, believe. Yes, I am of the firm belief that after observing the behaviors of the Republicans, the Capitol building will no longer need a metal detector because these Republicans have absolutely no... Wait for it. Because these Republicans have absolutely no metal whatsoever. He continues. I'm just wondering about the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. Is this guy for real? Abbott spending what little energy he has to spare to blame Ocasio-Cortez for the phenomenal fuck-up in Texas? I didn't know giraffes used language like that. Yes, Governor, where Cortez is concerned, I know you hate Mexicans, but to blame Ocasio-Cortez is just... Wait for it. To blame Ocasio-Cortez is just lights-out dumb. Too soon, Giraffery. Too soon. Governor Abbott, instead of tilting at windmills, you might... They're wind turbines, Giraffery. Don't upset Sparky. You might consider some solar or wind because, frankly, you're a dumbass, but you are no... Wait for it. Yes, Greg Abbott, you are an ass, but you're no donkey Odie. Ah! Oh, all right. Yes, Governor, you should take all the heat for this lack of initiative. Hell, if you have any heat. Because trying to blame Ocasio-Cortez is really, well, you know, trying to blame Ocasio-Cortez is really cold. Greg Abbott, are you for real? Or are you just a... Are you for real, or are you just a bot? Abbott, a bot? Even I didn't see that one coming. Wow. Jeffrey's really bringing the heat tonight. The goddess of irony never even takes a nap, let alone actually sleeps. This week we discussed two presidents who shared the same birthday. We also discovered that Stacey Plaskett and Joe Neguse were born on the same day, one generation apart from one another. Well, as it turns out, two of radio's most famous, or some might say infamous, shock jocks also share the same birthday, which I find astounding. Yes, Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern were both born on January 12th, with Howard being 3 years Rush's junior. Howard Stern is 67? Wow. These two shock jocks garnered incredible ratings for their racy, often racist acts, but they were entertaining for those of a minus mentality. I never cared for either of them because, for starters, they both claim to right-wing conservatives. Jeffrey then finds his way to the microphone. I found their humor low down in base, but let's face it, they did reach their base. Base. What is base? I think that's Edmund from King Lear. Give Jeffrey some basis points for the last one. They both had a connection to Pittsburgh, as Rush worked and had some success as a morning drive man, and Howard is currently married to a Pittsburgh native, Beth Ostrowski. A total fox, says Joey, as she attended Fox Chapel in the northern hills of Pittsburgh. She's an actor, model, and an animal rights activist. Her maiden name is Jewish, but she was raised Catholic, and that should make Scotty in San Diego very happy because Scotty was reared in the Catholic Church. Don't do that. Jeffrey longs to speak. Beth is a wonderful person, and she took in a stray like Howard Stern. She has wonderful long legs, and I, Jeffrey the giraffe, just love long legs. And, of course, she lives on Long Island with several pets. Moreover, her animal activism has assisted in giving 1,000 foster homes for wayward animals, including Howard. It's just Jeffrey's luck. With the likes of Beth Ostrowski Stern adopting animals, and that poor giraffe gets stuck with me, says Joey. Oh, I think he's a pretty lucky giraffe. I have to say that Howard Stern has grown on me a little, even though I never cared for his shows. Stern was a guy who had a father that just constantly belittled him, causing Howard to really struggle with self-esteem issues. To me, Howard was just a child who never grew up and, for the most part, had a good heart. On the other hand, Rush was just a pernicious, evil bastard who stoked racism and I really believe fostered the mentality of the maggots upon Bill Clinton being elected 42nd president of this country. Many of you may remember Limbaugh starting his show with, "This is the 342nd day of the Clinton occupation of the White House," along with demonizing Hillary. And Jeffrey wants the final word. So, Scotty, when you call in, instead of asking if Rush is dead yet, you can just say this is such and such number of days from the release of the Russian oppression. That's quality. This has been Joey's Journal for No More Rush, Thorn in the Side, Thursday, the 18th day of February, with Giraffrey dancing his way to the church where he will do the foxtrot in the Fox Chapel. And thus, there is a $25 No More Russian Oppression Challenge. Hear, hear to that. And that, if the challenge from last night, namely the Biden Likes Wage Hikes Challenge, those things taken together would get us down a ways and help out hugely, hugely. So thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffrey. And Kyle, by the way, notes that Ted Cruz might be the biggest piece of shit in the Republican Party, and that's a hell of an accomplishment. Also, maybe people should fucking elect Republicans if they don't want them to act like damn Republicans. Just a thought. Shouldn't fucking elect Republicans if they don't want them to act like Republicans. And as for the power situation, water situation in Texas, Kyle adds, this is what deregulation and the free market get you. Corners cut for profit now equals shit not working when you need it to and paying more to fix it later than you would have to maintain in the first place. These dumb shits never learn. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth right there, that they never learn. And here's another little bit from the Wayback Machine. David in South Carolina, Stan. The Libertarian Fire Department. Remember the fire department in Tennessee years ago? They showed up to a fire only to sit and watch a man's house burn because he hadn't paid his fire service fee or was behind on it or some such. Yeah. There's no public good in libertarian world. So Ted Cruz did a ScoMo, asks Robert in Australia. It's just over a year ago, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, ScoMo, took a holiday in Hawaii as the country was burning to the ground. I remember that. ScoMo flew back home as soon as pictures of him drinking at a beach resort were published. There followed the videos of him desperately grabbing at the hands of people who had just lost everything as his media team tried to get a photo of him shaking hands and consoling them. Melania had nothing on those residents. Hands were withdrawn at a speed such as I have never seen. Signed, Robert, in Oz, in isolation, and it's raining and overcast on this late summer's day in Oz. The power of AOC, Lee in New York, says she has so much power. Her power could have provided light and heat to all of Texas. When will Republicans agree on their hate blame? It's not a lack of agreement, Lee. It's more like the fact that they are to messaging what a shotgun full of rock salt is to firearms. It scatters. There's no choke. It just sprays everywhere, and they just want to hit something. And they know that in their maggoty little world, There's some people who, yeah, AOC, and there's other people, no, we need to blow up more mountains and blow up more hillbillies for that coal. Yeah, so apparently there, Lee, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department this evening, says, can I recall my U.S. Senator or representatives in Congress? As for the U.S. Congress and Senate, it does not appear that members are subject to recall elections in any shape or form. They may be impeached by a House or Senate vote, but not recalled by an election. Well, damn. I guess that's that just means we have to wait until 2024 to see if the people of Texas can wise up and get rid of that needle-nosed little prick. So, because, you know, he is. I had a note from Suman before the program. I sometimes look to you for some wonderful historical book recommendations. Did you ever read any works of Mary Raynaud? Let me know when you have a moment. And I tell, oh, heavens, yes, all of them. If you've never read the historical fiction of Mary Raynaud, you are missing a treat. You start with The King Must Die, and then I think The Bull from the Sea. She took the most ancient of Greek myths and made them vividly real. So that's just general. If you've never read Mary Raynaud, it's well worth your time. And by the way, let's see here. So we've got challenges on the table in the amount, I think, of $75. And a challenge to add to it, a birthday challenge from Steve in New York. Today, my karaoke partner is 44, so I'm offering a $22 karaoke desafio challenge. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. So that would take us $97 worth of challenges, which would get us to down to almost, okay, we would be definitely funded through Tuesday if that happened. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. well, I couldn't agree more. Darlene sends along a headline saying, this is hilarious. This should be the end of his career, but not aiding and abetting the insurrection of January 6th and voting to acquit the orange blockhead. Goes to show you that Republicans don't get shit unless it's happening directly to them. Headline, Ted Cruz ripped by former GOP official. It should be the end of his career. Matt Daugherty tweeted, Senator Ted Cruz has arrived in Houston back from a short trip to Cancun. And brief indeed. Yeah. And this is what makes Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, such a genuinely horrible human being. He blamed his children. He couldn't man up and take it on himself. He said in the airport that his children wanted to go on a resort vacation because their power was out and it was cold. And he said he agreed with his children whose fault it was. Previous reports had said it was a long-planned trip. And he thought he was being a good dad. By taking his children on a beach vacation in the middle of a global pandemic. Even though there's a level 3 travel advisory about travel to Mexico by the U.S. State Department. And so that's what caused Mayor Betsy Price of Fort Worth, who told Nicole Wallace at MSNBC that Texans are coming together to help each other out. And that's when David Jolly, the former Republican congressman from Florida, said it's more than just a public relations crisis. It's a leadership crisis. The mayor is far more gracious than I will be when it comes to assessing whether or not all Texans are in this together. All Texans but one. You know, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is a liar who's failed the people of Texas, and he's failed his responsibility as a United States senator. We saw on display, and we're seeing it here in your interviews, true leadership in the state of Texas, people who rolled up their sleeves and are helping fellow Texans. And then pointed out this notion that somehow it was the last-minute trip and he planned to come back in 23 hours is an absolute lie and should be the end of Ted Cruz's political career in Texas. Yeah, but here's the thing. There's no such thing as the end of a political career if you are a highly positioned Republican. You just leave government and go and get a job in some wingnut welfare chop shop. The American free enterprise, Ayn Randian, objectivist, Heritage American Patriotism Institute Foundation. And they, in turn, hawk books, bad, horrible right-wing books, and we'll send you a free book if you send us $25. And that's how, you know, that's how they fund that shit. Well, that and humongous corporate contributions. Wouldn't this country be eminently better without all of these shadowy PACs? Look at the damage they do. Here in West Virginia, we beat back one of those nasty-ass things. SB 13 that would have allowed like foster care agencies funded with tax dollars to discriminate against children based upon whether they were gay or any part of the LGBTQ plus flag. They could have said, oh, we don't want to help you. You're not a Christian. But there was so much outcry over it that SB 13 was pulled from the Senate Health Committee here in West Virginia, which is a good thing. On the other hand, the charter school nonsense is still underway here. It's been brought back again. I saw a post asking, will, you know, the teachers in West Virginia have struck before. Will they go on strike over this? And what pissed me off was, wait a minute. I know what the margin of victory was here in November. I know that people went to the polls and gave Republicans the first supermajority that they've had, Jesus Christ, since the early 20th century. And it's not like that all the teachers went out and voted against all that. Oh, hell no. I mean, I know there are good progressive teachers, and by far and away, the American Federation of Teachers, which is part of the AFL-CIO, is a serious and activist union. But there's also the West Virginia Education Association, which is more like a social club than a union. Well, what's that song? Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Where have all the flowers gone? But there's a line in there, and I think it applies to, say, otherwise disinterested in politics citizens of Texas and otherwise ill-informed voters in places like West Virginia. There's a line in Where Have All the Flowers Gone where they ask, where the singer rhetorically asks, when will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Something like that. Tin ear, you know, whatever. No singing! Program's teetering as it is. But you ask, it's fair to ask that question. When will? What does it take? Is this latest outrage in Texas, is that enough? Is that is that the break point? Is that where Texas finally looks up and goes, you know, we've had enough of being this, of being red. These people are fucking us. These people are killing us. You remember the huge fire at the chemical plant in Houston of a couple of years back? The aforementioned explosion of the fertilizer factory in West Texas? Here's a hint. Texas didn't wise up after that. I don't know. I sincerely don't know. But I know for the good of the whole country, it would be beneficial if these maggot voters who voted for their own suffering were to wise up and vote like they're part of a community and not rugged individuals pulling themselves up. Yeah, how are those bootstraps doing in 11-degree weather, y'all? Kind of hard to pull them bootstraps up when the boots are full of fucking ice, ain't it? And it wasn't 3 weeks ago that people in some yahoo in Texas, what we got to do is have a discussion about secession because everybody here agrees, left and right, that the federal government in Washington is broken. Not near as broken as your fucking for-profit power grid there, bub. Huh? Booger-eating Ted, Stephen, New York, reminds us he let Nitwit Nero not just throw his wife under the bus. Trump made Ted drive the bus. And he threw his kids under the bus. My God, his voice is absolutely perfect for such a weasel. You missed a syllable there. Ted Cruz is a shit weasel, Steve. Yeah. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? And it's hard to answer that question. And the answer, well, it's just like the cracked screen of my old Magic 8 ball. Answer hazy. Ask again later. Oh, going back to a note I got from our pal Reverbo, the human man. And I guess we're not done with Flush. There's more, you know, there are words yet to be said. Really, Reverbo says, Limbaugh was just like the rest of that ilk. Only he got a big microphone stuck in his ugly ass face. These people still think anti-gay slur jokes are funny. Why are there so few decent repiglican artists of any kind? That's why. About the only one I can think of is P.J. O'Rourke. And you probably had to dig deep for that one, Reverbo. Well, they're not much in the way of artistry, because it's hard to make good art out of hate. Plain and simple. So I think that's at least a partial answer. Now, when will they learn? Lee in New York says, Rachel said the power failed in 1989, 2011, and this year. But not quite like this. I saw where John Bridevo said his pipes had frozen. I hope to God he was using PEX. And for anybody worried about freezing pipes, that's good advice. The PVC will freeze solid, and in the process of freezing, it will chicken bone. Well, PEX has enough flexibility to it that it will freeze, but it won't chicken bone, it won't break, it won't burst. It'll freeze and expand, and then it's still decent pipe when it thaws. On the other hand, Randy Radar reminds us, if you want to keep pipes from freezing, go down to the lowest floor and turn off the circuit breaker to the water heater and the well pump, turn off the water supply, and open all faucets and flush toilets to drain pipes. Then, assuming you previously ordered 4 gallons of propylene glycol, not the poisonous ethylene glycol from Amazon, pour a generous amount of the propylene glycol into all sinks and toilets. Your pipes may freeze, you may freeze, rather, but your pipes inside your walls won't. That's handy. That's good to know. So much crap for a thorn in the side Thursday. Yeah, what else, of course? Do you remember when Martin Gugino was shoved to the onto the concrete pavement, falling by the Buffalo police? Do you remember that he cracked his skull open? 75 years old. It was June of last year. Well, a grand jury met to consider the fates of a couple of Buffalo, New York police officers. Officers Aaron Torgalski and Robert McCabe are still suspended from duty. But despite the fact that they shoved him so hard and so unnecessarily that he fell to the ground and suffered a skull fracture, who had a puddle of blood pool around his broken skull, well, the grand jury in Buffalo has decided that officers Torgalski and McCabe don't need to be indicted. Interviewed today, or a week ago today, Martin Gugino said, "I'm a little surprised. I think there was pressure on the Erie County District Attorney to get at least an indictment and expectation that the justice system would do something to try to change the direction of the police department and change the reality of the police in the street. I think it will happen that people are disappointed that this misfired." Meanwhile, District Attorney Flynn protested mightily. "I went into that grand jury. I put all relevant evidence into that grand jury. I put multiple witnesses in that grand jury. I put everything that was not cumulative into that grand jury, and you got my word on that." What do you want to bet the grand jury thought that Martin Gugino was black? Meanwhile, a statement from the Buffalo Cop Union said, "We are extremely pleased. As we have stated all along, officers McCabe and Torgalski were simply following departmental procedures and the directives of their superiors to clear Niagara Square despite working under extremely challenging circumstances when they were extremely challenged by a rail skinny 75-year-old 6-foot-6-inch dude." Let's see, what was that? "Simply following departmental procedures." Oh, I know that. Where have we heard that? Oh, yeah. "I was only following orders." Jesus. We got a ways to go yet. You know that? We really, really do. Lee in New York responding, not done with Flush. Of course, he won't go down. He's a floater. But it does remind me of something. Namely, a memorial that was offered up today. Rudy Giuliani was apparently a guest on the radio show hosted by that man who smells like hot dogs, Steve Bannon. And I guess he asked Rudy Giuliani for some of his bestest and most fondestest recollections of that wonderful man, Flush Flemball. Well, let's just say that when Rudy Giuliani thinks of Flush Flemball, I don't fully understand why. Rudy Giuliani thinks of golf and panties.
"You have time for a funny story?
Yeah, we got about a minute.
I get this one done in a minute. So every once in a while, I was always his partner. So we'd always ride together. He always wanted me to drive because he wanted to be smoking cigars. So one day we're driving, and these paparazzi are driving us crazy. They're taking pictures. And he said, Giuliani, what did you do now? They're all following you around. You know how I hate pictures taken? I know you're famous, but damn, can't you tell them to stay away? And he's like growling. And I say, you can just come up to the green with me. Come on. So on the green is Michelle Wee, and she's getting ready to putt. Now, Michelle Wee is gorgeous. She's 6 feet, and she has a strange putting stance. She bends all the way over, and her panties show. And the press was going crazy.
And Rush was absolutely not interested in the least. Ha, ha, ha. That's why he was married so many times and kept his wife in a pit. Ha, ha, ha.
They were following her all around because they were trying to take pictures of her panties. I said, Roger, it's not me. It's not you. It's her panties. Right? Is that okay to tell that joke? I'm not sure.
Was it a joke or was it a story, Rudy? God. And that's how he remembers his dear departed friend, Flush Flimbaugh, ogling the underwear of a young woman a third of their age. You know, somehow after getting busted by Borat, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen, I would think that Rudy would maybe, you know, eschew stories like that, seeing as how he thought he was going to get it on with a young journalist he thought was 15 years old. But no, I guess not. Oh, please, Southern District of New York. Oh, please, Eastern District of New York. Can you not do something about Rudy there? I mean, is it just too damn much to ask? Because, damn. Oh, but speaking of lawyers in Manhattan, the Manhattan District Attorney, you know, you don't always have to use your own people. When you got a great big honking budget and you're the district attorney of something like Manhattan. Well, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, as headed by Cyrus Vance Jr., has brought former federal prosecutor Mark F. Pomerantz on board to look into the business shenanigans of the Nitwit Nero crime family. According to a report from the New York Times, lawyer Pomerantz has joined Cyrus Vance's team. They're looking into things like whether the Trump Organization misled its lenders or local tax authorities about the value of their properties in order to obtain loans and tax benefits. According to the New York Times, in recent months, Mr. Vance's office has broadened the long-running investigation to include an array of financial transactions and Trump properties, including Trump Tower and Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, various Trump hotels, and the Seven Springs Estate in Westchester County, as prosecutors await a ruling from the United States Supreme Court that could give them access to Mr. Trump's tax returns, because we still don't have that. Man, didn't those Solons at the Supreme Court manage to push that off into the distant future in order to try to protect the man that they felt to whom they owed so much? Jesus. So at least we know that there's something out there to kind of look forward to. Oh, note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. as I discussed yesterday, Rush would play music and celebrate people who had died of AIDS. Fuck him, says Matt, and all the right-wingers who miss him. Forever and ever and ever, amen. Oh, and by the way, just because hilarity, back when the New York Police Department choked Eric Garner to death, allegedly for selling Lucy's, you recall that as they had him on the ground and were slowly, agonizingly squeezing the life out of him, for which they would pay no penalty, by the way, Eric Garner complained, "I can't breathe," because he couldn't. Nonetheless, they continued to choke the life out of him until they had succeeded. Well, of course, yesterday we got the news that Flush Limbaugh had died of complications arising from lung cancer. Coronavirus! But in the aftermath of the lynching by police of Eric Garner, Limbaugh went on air to say, "My friends, I can breathe today because I obey the law." And then the goddess of irony looked down and said, I think we're going to have to take care of that. And so the man who said he could breathe because he obeyed the law, mocking the murder of Eric Garner, himself died gasping for breath, incommunicative, and yes, unable to breathe. Yeah. So what do you think of that? Oh, we got so much to deal with this evening. So many more stories. I mentioned Steve Bannon a minute ago. According to a guy by the name of Ira Rosen, who has written a new memoir about working for CBS, Ira Rosen gave an interview to Skullduggery, a podcast over at Yahoo. It's hosted by Michael Isikoff and Daniel Kladman. He said the book that he was out there hustling wasn't a gossip book, but he did have a relationship of sorts with Steve Bannon, the man who smells like hot dogs, because he was trying to set up an interview on 60 Minutes with... And so Bannon, he said, is a big talker, a big gossiper. He became a source for a lot of media people in Washington. And among other things, you know, Bannon's been pardoned by Trump, and so now he can spill the tea. And Ira Rosen said he became a sort of a therapist for Bannon. Bannon would be loitering in the chief of staff's office drinking Diet Cokes, and he'd kind of download to me on stories. And so Ira Rosen took notes. And he said, "Steve, I'm not going to fuck you." And Bannon said, "All right, that's all I needed to hear. We're good." And Bannon, by his own observations, and this, of course, confirms numerous conversations that we had on this program, Bannon said that in the early days of the Trump maladministration, that he believed that Nitwit Nero was suffering from early stage dementia, and that he, Bannon, feared that Julius Geezer wouldn't make it all the way through the 4 years of his term without the cabinet. Wait for it. Busting out all 25th Amendment. Based on Trump's own behavior, Bannon said he was concerned that the cabinet would trigger Section 4 of the 25th Amendment because he was no longer able to carry out his duties. So there's a sort of an echo of what we later found out after the Reagan administration about old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, that he was in fact a blithering idiot as a result of his Alzheimer's during the waning days of his second term. Well, we're not talking about the waning days of any second term. Within the first year or so of the Trump nightmare, Bannon felt pretty confident that Nitwit Nero had already gone cuckoo bananas. And when we get far enough away from this in history, we will look back and wonder that we survived those 4 years. That those four years did not wind up in some sort of nuclear holocaust. But then again, wait a minute, 500,000 of us didn't survive. Because the guy with the badly broken brain, the guy with the rotten neurons, ignored a pandemic for so long that it roared through this country and killed 500,000 people, some 40% of whom did not need to die. Now, 500,000, that's 50. That's 200,000 people who didn't have to be all dead and stuff. It's a pity we do not have the tradition in this country of damnatio memoriae, where even his name would be stricken from the books as if he never existed. Told you we were going to be busy. Oh, and since we've already heard from Robert in Australia this evening, it's worth noting that after squabbling for several days, that automatonic sociopath, Mark Zuckerberg, has ordered all news postings about or from Australia to be banned from Facebook. Because the Australian government has been engaged in a set to with the Zuckerberg, and they've of course it's not about freedom or fairness, it's about who gets paid. And Australia considering putting forward legislation that would make Facebook pay if they wanted to link Australian news stories. So Facebook responded by saying, okay, we just won't allow any news stories to be posted. And so the author of this story at Ars Technica, Timothy B. Lee, tried to post a story from the Sydney Morning Herald and got, "This post can't be shared. In response to Australian government legislation, Facebook restricts the posting of news links and all posts from news pages in Australia globally. The posting and sharing of news links from Australian publications is restricted." So you can't see news publishers outside of Australia if you're inside of Australia. And so Zucker geek, Zucker nerd, because they're smarter than everybody else, Mark Zuckerdweeb, says that Australia, the Australian government, who's a lot better at governmenting than, say, Zuckertwerp, fundamentally misunderstands the relationship. Wait a minute, wrong voice. Fundamentally misunderstands the relationship between our platform and publishers who use it to share news content. And so, consequently, Facebook has shown its true colors. More than happy to engage in corporate censorship. You know, if there's a buck in it. Of course, Facebook was perfectly happy to curate that content and has argued every step of the way that, well, no, we are not a publisher. We are merely an aggregator. Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg I think it's a fair question to ask here and there, especially with, you know, what happened yesterday with Rush. There's no cogent argument that the world is a better place because Rush was ever in it. And is there an argument to be made that the world is any better because of Mark Zuckerpunch? Because it doesn't even seem like much of a close call to me. So here we are, an hour into the program, and we are still as far away from the fundraising goal as we were when we began the program, but there is $97 worth of challenges on the table. And it would be great if those things weren't just let blow by. I understand times are hard. I really, really do. I'd just like for this little community to keep going. So we'll take a little break and check in with Brad and Desi. See what they've got for us this evening, it being a Thursday and all. And then come back perhaps to your calls or more Philip Robstering. Who knows? Let's find out.
It's Thursday, February 18, 2021.
Green News Report special coverage.
This is a life-threatening humanitarian crisis, and it is growing by the hour. Families all over this state doing whatever they can to stay warm and sometimes making deadly choices.
Deep freeze devastates Texas power grid as death toll climbs.
Texas neglected and underinvested in its grid until it finally broke during the storm.
Privatization and deregulation left Texas vulnerable. Plus,
it seems pretty clear that a reckless reliance on windmills is the cause of this disaster. Is that right, do you think?
That is absolutely right.
Absolutely wrong. Right-wingers launched Texas disinfo campaign to attack renewable energy.
All of those misfires and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
There's going to be a lot of people now out there trying to say, well, the fossil fuels have also failed.
That's right, because they did fail. Mark Morano, Dead Rush Limbaugh's former producer. You got something against telling the truth? Dumb question, I know. That ain't what the fossil fuel industry pays you for. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen. Boy, when this week started, it looked bad in Texas, and it has turned out to be even worse than I think any of us could have imagined.
Yes, the deadly days-long winter weather emergency in Texas and in other states has deepened into a full-blown disaster and humanitarian crisis with national security implications. As we go to air, millions remain without power across the southern and central U.S. The storm and its aftermath have killed at least 30 people, many in Texas. Texas. Hundreds have been treated at hospitals for exposure to the cold and for carbon monoxide poisoning as desperate people turn to unsafe measures to keep warm. The Texas power grid buckled because ultra-cold temperatures froze natural gas, coal, and nuclear power plants that are its primary energy sources. The state is suffering water outages because water mains and water treatment plants are literally frozen. Half of the state's 254 counties are experiencing water problems. Dozens of cities, including Houston, have issued boil water notices. But in hard-hit areas, there is no water to boil. Nuclear power reactors were shut down because there is no water to cool the reactors. The state's agriculture commissioner warned of looming food supply problems. Texas military bases have also been severely impacted, harming military readiness. In a press conference on Wednesday, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott warned that most of the state will remain below freezing through the weekend. Abbott also ordered Texas natural gas producers to sell fuel to in-state power generators.
I have issued an order effective today requiring those producers that have been shipping to locations outside of Texas to instead sell that natural gas to Texas power generators.
Texas can't import power from other states like the rest of the country because in the 1990s, Republican lawmakers deregulated and privatized the state's electric grid to avoid federal regulations, cutting it off and isolating it from the rest of the country. That allowed Texas companies to prioritize profits over maintenance upgrades. So there are no requirements by the state to winterize energy resources.
No requirements, and because they're cut off from everyone else in the country, they can't get help when they need it.
The architect of the state's privatized, deregulated system told reporters that the state's energy market is functioning as it was designed. Even though Texas grid officials have confirmed that the blackouts are primarily due to freezing of gas, coal, and nuclear plants, and that frozen wind turbines were the least significant factor, Republican politicians, Fox News, and right-wing media have sprung into action to deflect responsibility for the cascading consequences of deregulation and privatization, launching a tsunami of misinformation to falsely blame wind energy for the state's grid failure.
That's so unlike them.
Here's Tucker Carlson.
So unbeknownst to most people, the Green New Deal came to Texas. The power grid in the state became totally reliant on windmills. Then it got cold and the windmills broke.
No, you are not hallucinating. The Green New Deal did not pass. And no, Texas isn't primarily reliant on wind energy.
It didn't come secretly to Texas?
No.
So it's as if Tucker Carlson is just making stuff up?
Yes.
That's so unlike him.
Another storm has hit the South through the mid-Atlantic, with one-third of Americans under new winter storm advisories, creating more shortages of natural gas and more extended power outages. The Texas disaster could boost President Biden's proposal to harden the nation's aging electric grid and crumbling infrastructure, but will Republicans heed it?
And will America fall for the lies that are coming out of Texas, coming out of Fox News, trying to blame all of this on renewable energy? That propaganda machine is pretty powerful. For much more on this story and the ones we couldn't get to today because of it, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com, where we are celebrating the 12th anniversary of the Green News Report, and we thank you for stopping by bradblog.com/donate to help us. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Okay, that's an acceptable bumper. That's not surprising. But how far? Question: how far are we from, say, Kentucky declaring that the Texas power grid failed because of orcs or black riders? Wait a minute. Yeah, there it is. Not like Nazgul from Lord of the Rings, but yep. If it wasn't for the liberal Uruk Hai, what was led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, we'd be warm as toast right now. That's what we need. We need more Mordor in Texas. Jesus. Whoop! Well, let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's Dave in the Blind.
Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing a lot better than Rush, though.
Ha, ha. Wait a minute. Wait. Let me do my impression. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. That's my Kenneth Copeland impression.
Yeah, it's a very good one. Almost spot on.
Well, thank you.
But I was thinking about the program last night, and I remembered a song that my mom used to play, the A Star Is Born soundtrack from the 75 film. And in it, Kris Kristofferson sings a song called Go to Hell. And I thought, well, not only is that good for Rush, but all the Republicans in Texas. I don't understand these people. They want your vote. They want the power. They want the money that comes with it. But, oh, if you ask for a damn thing, you're a son of a bitch. And I grew up part of my life in Texas. I mean, I hate thinking of my third grade teachers freezing to death because these idiots can't put heaters on facilities or weatherize them so that they can withstand cold.
Well, I mean, I'm a little baffled by some of this reporting, Dave, I confess, because there are coal-fired power plants in West Virginia, Minnesota, Wisconsin, probably North and South Dakota.
Alabama.
And it gets a hell of a lot colder there generally than it does in Texas. What did they not do to keep their coal-fired power plants and their frack gas power plants from freezing solid? I mean, what were the plants dressed in bikinis or something? Were they only protected by beach umbrellas? I'm a little lost.
Well, when I lived down there when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and there were snow flurries in Houston one evening, and people were calling my mother going, can you all run me to the store to make sure my kids get to school tomorrow? Are the roads going to be passable? And it wasn't even sticking. They just had flurries and the entire city of Houston shut down.
Yeah, and
this
some
isn't
of this,
a
some
new
of,
problem.
But something, some of this makes a little bit of sense. I mean, if you get some snow every once in a while, it doesn't make sense to have a whole fleet of snow plows and salt trucks and all of that stuff.
Well, from what I understand, when they had ice and snow on the roads, they sent for trucks out of Tennessee and Kentucky to help them out years ago. But I agree, you know, there's really no reason for them to have tons of snow, tons of salt, like they do in Indiana.
Unless,
West Virginia.
Unless, of course, climate change is real, Dave.
Well, no, Robin, that can't be true because the great God Ronnie told us different, and we can't question him because, well, without a medium, anyway.
Then he wouldn't even know he was talking to. There's no reason to think he got his mind back in the afterlife.
Well, it might have actually gotten sharper. I did what?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, there's every likelihood in the world that, I don't know, that Ronnie's spending his time in hell being sodomized by Bonzo. I mean, come on.
Now, why would you put the poor chimp through that?
The name of the movie was Bedtime for Bonzo, Dave. Come on.
Yes, I know it was. And you realize that Bonzo was a girl. Bonzo was a girl chimp.
Right, because you really don't want to work with the male chimps because they can get real nasty.
and aggressive, and they can rip your arm off.
Or your face.
Yeah, they like to bite. I had a, my great grandmother lived with a woman who had a chimpanzee. I hated that thing. It scared me to death.
Oh, well. Look, all you got to do is watch the House of Representatives when people like Jim Shorts Jordan or Louie Gohmert are talking, or what's his name? What's her name? Elise, shut the fuck up, Nick, or Marsha Dennis Blackburn. It's all chimpanzees. Aggressive, hateful, stupid chimpanzees.
Shit flinging. Don't forget shit flinging.
Well, I think that just goes with the turf now, doesn't it?
Well, that would explain why the big mess in the Capitol. You release a bunch of them into those halls, and, you know. That just. And the thing is, I've been spending the last few days on the island of sanity helping Christine move into her trailer. And I'm back home now, but. For a few days there, it was a bit of sanity, and I didn't actually have to do any direct observations. It was almost like a vacation. Oh, by the way, you'll be glad to know that I have put the guys down at the shop on paid leave because of the weather. We're not doing any crucifixions.
None?
Until it warms up a bit.
I would have thought better of the hardy folk of Talibandiana that you wouldn't be just laid out by a little cold weather. I mean,
we're not doing it for us, Robin. It's our clients. They're such delicate things.
Oh, they are. You're so right.
It's not like. You know, we want repeat business, so it's not like we want to kill them outright. Make them mostly dead, okay. But, you know.
Have you had any inquiries from the Limbaugh family, Dave?
No, we have an anti-rush policy down at the shop.
Well, you know, I would have
union problems like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I can imagine, but it's also Talibandiana, so you're probably covered by a religious freedom exemption.
Well, yeah, because
he was a demon and everything.
Yeah. Give yourself a cowbell for that one.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave.
And I have to compliment Giraffe. He has been working diligently on improving his puns.
He's brought his game up some. Yep.
I'm glad to see it, but I'm still not getting him a case of long necks until he can actually go through a broadcast without screwing it up.
That's cold. Wait a minute. No, it's just cold. Never mind.
Well, I mean, what else am I going to get a giraffe?
I understand, but I wonder if you can get a long neck that's long enough for giraffery.
Well, that's why if he's in a German mood, we could all put it in a great big stein, and there'd be enough there to pour down that long neck of his. So, it's a possibility.
I wonder, you know what, I wonder if Giraffe can play the trombone vertically.
I don't see why not. He's talented in other ways.
He's got all that neck. I mean,
lack of opposable thumbs.
When it comes to musicians playing in a brass band or anything, I always had the most respect for the trombone players, because I mean that slide goes way out, so you got to have a lot of throat space. It's kind of like a sword swallower. There's got to be somewhere for that thing to go. I mean, it's not like playing a tuba.
Well, my grandfather was a a professional trumpet player. And he used to tell me all the time that horn players live 5 years longer than any other musicians on average, because they have more better developed lungs.
Well, I'm sure they probably outlive banjo players.
I enjoy both. I learned early not to question Grandpa and things like that, because no matter how I would approach the argument, he always ended up right. So I quit while I was ahead.
I mean, you know, when you run out of fuel in a deep freeze winter blast, the first thing to go is the banjos. People are loath to break up and set fire to their guitars, but the banjos go pretty quick. Sorry,
I would think ukuleles would go before the banjos.
Oh no, ukulele's not nearly as annoying as a banjo.
I guess it's your point of view. I always found the ukulele to be the most asinine of instruments.
Well, now
I would rather see somebody
now. I'm going to get
playing a triangle.
I'm fine with the triangle. Well, I'm fine with the triangle as long as only two legs are played. It's that third leg that drives me crazy. Jesus.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's Absurdity Thursday on the horn. But how brutal is it there in Taliban-Deanapolis?
It got down to 15 yesterday.
Oh, that's just winter for you, isn't it?
And we're not, it wasn't bad. I mean, it's not like it was 20 below. That's when you start thinking about putting up the shorts and putting on long pants.
You know, all kidding aside, though, Dave, I'm proud of Joe Biden, because when Abbott down in Texas started hollering for federal emergency relief, you know what Joe Biden didn't do, Dave? He didn't say,
"Well, you didn't vote for me."
No, no, no. He didn't go down and throw paper towels at Texans. But
that's good, because they'd shoot back.
But more than anything else, Joe Biden didn't say, "Wait, what? You mean you want some of that socialism? You want some money from people in New York and Massachusetts and California and Washington and Oregon? You want some of them socialist federal dollars there, Greg? You sure about that? Are you ready to put on the hat and learn the song?"
The thing is, when I was a kid, these secessionists were talking loud and proud and how Texas should have been divided up into five states and all this crap. And as I got older, I mean, when I was a kid, they celebrated Texas Independence Day when Texas got its independence from Mexico.
Right, when it was the Republic of Texas.
Right. But some of them were going, "Well, we should never join the union to begin with, or we should have never rejoined the union." And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, and if you hadn't rejoined the union, federal troops would be in your streets all day, every day.
Yeah, that's a little too much to comprehend.
But they're, and I love Texas. I mean, when I was there, I loved it. I still love it. I just don't like their politics. At least when I was down there, there was a Democratic Party worth a damn down there.
It's the state that gave us the sainted Ann Richards.
Well, and my friend Jerry, you've heard me talk about Jerry. My friend is an attorney.
Yeah.
He, when he was going to law school, he worked in the Texas State House as an intern, I think. And he said Governor Richards could tell a dirty joke better than any man he ever knew. And I said, well, hell, Jerry, that's a political skill down there. That's not surprising. But yeah, Ann Richards, there were people like Ann Richards.
The late, great Molly Ivins?
Oh, I love Molly. You know, some students at the University of Texas invited her to speak on the First Amendment, and the university objected. And so she held her talk at a, I think at a Holiday Inn off campus or something. And I thought to myself, you know, if it had been me, I'd have said, Molly, come on down to the student union and just sit in the cafeteria and talk. What are they going to do? But yeah, Molly Ivins is one of those people. You get a lot of good journalists out of Texas.
Jim Hightower?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The right-wing assholes are not entirely limited to Texas, however, unfortunately. There's a story I saw last night. There's a story I saw last night, Dave, coming out of Wisconsin. And it has to do with a Republican legislator there named, sadly, Robin Voss. V-O-S. Maybe it's Voss.
No relation.
No relation, no.
Okay.
Robin Voss is a notorious Republican asshole in Wisconsin. And he was among the ones who were doing their dead level best to blow up the Pinocchi Hills to make an iron mine that nobody needed, that was 20 miles long and a mile wide and 2,400 feet deep, and would have ruined every bit of fresh water in that wonderful freshwater area. Beautiful places like the Tyler Forks there, and oh God, it's beautiful. Well, Robin Voss.
I haven't been to Wisconsin in decades.
He failed at that, but his career continued. And so, when it came time for Wisconsin to consider how it would observe Black History Month, which we are still in, and which it is beautifully ironic that Rush Limbaugh died in, when it came time for Wisconsin to consider how to observe Black History Month, they wanted to include the groundbreaking protest initiated by Colin Kaepernick. And Robin Voss objected to including Colin Kaepernick in Black History Month in Wisconsin because Robin Voss claimed that Colin Kaepernick was, and these are his words, too divisive. And so yesterday...
Wait, Kaepernick was Purdue.
Too divisive.
Kaepernick was protesting police brutality.
Yeah, but it's too divisive. You gotta stay with me here, Dave.
Oh, okay. I'll try.
Yesterday,
my head hurt.
Oh, you might want to grab the hockey puck, or maybe a couple of nails. I don't know. It depends on how you ease your own pain. Yesterday, wow. when the news broke of the departure of Rush Limbaugh for the lowest reaches of hell, where even the little demons are like, no, you know, if you keep going, bub, you're not far enough down yet. When the news broke of Limbaugh's untimely, too late passing, Robin Voss demanded that the flags in Wisconsin be lowered to half staff by order of the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. I'd like to hope Tony Evers did not knuckle under and do so, but the goddess of irony has to have plans for Robin Voss, because if Colin Kaepernick is too divisive, What the hell is Rush Limbaugh? Oh, great American. You know, because white.
Well, what is Rush's connection to Wisconsin? Other than he ate his weight in cheese every day.
Wait a minute. That's for you. That was good.
Thank you. And that's on the fly.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Some of the best stuff on this program's on the fly.
But I don't understand what Limbaugh's connection to Wisconsin is. I mean, I understand.
Well, it's not because he had a connection to Wisconsin. It's because he was a great American. Or a great American.
Well, when Herman B. Wells, the former president of IU, died, the flags on campus were ordered at half staff for pretty much the rest of the semester. And there, I would say that Dr. Wells had more claim to having the flag lowered on his behalf than Rush Limbaugh ever will. He was part of a group of educators that went through the German university system to verify that various professors actually had the educational training to hold their doctorates instead of being political appointees of the Nazi party. He had famously, in the 50s, when he was president of the university, a pizza parlor refused to serve black students. And Herman B. Wells informed them that if they did not serve Negro students in the same way they did white students, that he would forbid all students from patronizing their pizzeria. And that pizzeria is still in business, and they did knuckle under because he had the authority to do it. And he advocated for Kinsey's studies and his work when he published his work on human sexuality. People wanted Wells to fire him, and he said, "I'm not going to do it."
That's a different time. That's a different time when people had, you know, scruples.
Well, that's true. That's true. I was a junior in college when he died, and I had wished, because my advisor told me that he had an open door policy, which students could go in and just talk to him. And I wish I had taken advantage of that, because if I had known then what I know now about the man, I would have at least picked his brain a couple of times. But those kinds of people are dying out, unfortunately.
Sandwich.
I was glad to see that Joe Biden did one thing that he promised his staff he would do. That if he found out that they were mistreating somebody, he would fire them. And the exit of that one assistant press secretary proved the point. There was no waiting around. It just happened. And I think there are some major differences. And I'm sleeping a lot better now. I'm still trying to catch up from the last 4 years, but I'll work on it.
You'll get there.
I know. Oh, the food porn portion of the program. Christine, on her birthday, had this dish at a bar here in Indianapolis. Fresh green beans fried in bacon grease.
Ooh.
With bacon in with it.
Ooh, yeah.
And we're talking that's food. I told Christine, I said, the next time I'm up there with you, I'm ordering that. Because she ordered that, a steak, and some fries for her birthday dinner. And I thought, oh, my God. And
sounds
I'm not
yummy.
A big green bean. It does. If I could ever learn how to fry green beans and know when they're done, but she said they were crisp. The bacon was just salty enough. And it was different than anything she ever eaten.
Oh, it just sounds fantastic.
It does, doesn't it? Now, the next time you're at Kroger, you'll be looking at seeing those fresh green beans and looking for the bacon.
Oh, that sounds real tasty.
But I wanted to let you guys know everything is going good.
I'm so glad to hear
Chris
it.
Chris and I are safe.
And glad we
and,
are.
And I wanted... and I hope that John and the Texas members of the community congregation are safe. You know, because I've got friends down there to this day, and I just...
I'm worried. I mean,
I'm more worried about them than anything else. Fortunately, two of my friends live in El Paso, so I'm not real worried about them.
No, they seem to be doing okay because they don't have a for-profit deregulated grid.
Yeah, there is that. You know, when things are used for the common good. Or in the 18th century parlance, the Commonwealth, then you get a little bit more reactive administration. And I learned that from Dr. Bill. Speaking of national treasures. By the way,
Dr. Bill was live today. And
he was? Okay. Well, I'll look up the program. Because normally I catch him on the podcast.
Right. I will upload. He's already partially uploaded. I'll finish the uploads after the program's over. But I think let me holler and see if Agnes hears me. No, I guess not. I think he may be live tomorrow, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's just last week he was completely consumed by watching the impeachment trial. And this week it was just kind of crappier at the front end of the week. So he and Agnes got together and decided he would go today and tomorrow. I think he's going tomorrow.
I'm just
so proud for him because Dr. Bill has gotten not one, but both of his COVID vaccines.
Excellent.
And I was just tickled.
Absolutely great. Well, I remember not too long ago hearing Agnes have a discussion with him, and she was discussing, she was taking down the so-called Christians using quoting Catholic canon law. And she did it so elegantly, I was like...
Agnes loves producing Dr. Bill, and she loves getting on air and chatting with him a little bit because she adores him and he adores her.
I would not want to be on the bad side of her at all.
No.
Because I would be drawing back a bloody stone.
Yeah, there wouldn't
be. I would be drawing back a bloody stone.
There wouldn't even be enough to send home in a basket.
Yeah. Quick note. Sorry, Christine.
you can kick this wherever you want. Blow back here. I can see that note.
Well, I am very glad to know you're okay. You, Christine, everybody there. And please stay that way. And we will talk soon.
Oh,
okay,
I'm staying in. It's not supposed to get above freezing until Saturday. And then we've got a few days and it'll reach like 50 at the beginning of the midweek next week.
Well, you know, February is fast disappearing. And so, I mean, there's only 10 days left of February. And that means that there's 31 days left of winter. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah. And that means
I can't wait until
I'm just eager to feel warmth. Yeah, professional broadcaster. I'm eager to feel warmth on my pale pink hide.
Yeah. You're so excited you're beside yourself, Robin.
I am. I should know. She's sitting right here because I'm beside myself.
I understand. Oh, and Christine saw that picture of you with your pin and your pearls, and she said, wear your good jewelry whenever you can.
Here.
My mother gave me when she died. So if it makes you feel good, wear it.
I wear my new little butterfly necklace just about everywhere I go. I just love it. It means so very much to me. And
well, Christine's like, well, she's pretty well put together. I said, Agnes dresses her.
That's true. It's absolutely true.
Because I said, Robin needs some technical support.
I got about 55 years worth of learning to catch up on.
Well, get to study in there, young lady.
Believe you me, I'm trying.
I'll talk to you later, Robin.
All right, you take care, Dave. Give our best to Christine, please.
I will.
Later, man.
I will.
All right.
Bye.
Our buddy Dave in the blind, giving the boys at the shop a couple of days off. Understandable. If you'd like to take part in the conversation, you're mightily welcome to do so. It's easy to do. Dave was on the stress line there, 844-843-4676. I've been hoping for a call back from Carly, like we had last night. Yeah. What did she say? Oh, fuck you, Trevor. It's Carly. Carly sounded like a hoot. So, like I said, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we are slowly moving through the day's madness. Here's the letter delivered electronically from the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Robin J. Voss. Dear Governor Evers, I'm reaching out to request that the flags of the United States and Wisconsin be lowered to half staff throughout the state in honor of Rush Limbaugh, who died today. I wonder if you could hear Tony Evers laughing, you know, somewhere on the moon. Yeah, right. While some individuals may only see him as a popular radio host, he was a pioneer in talk radio. No, he wasn't! A best-selling author, well, you know, if you count those books that have those little daggers by them on the New York Times list, that meant that they were bought in cases in bulk, and as soon as the Wingnut Welfare Organizations were done using them as fundraisers, that they wound up in the 10 for a dollar bin at Dollar Tree. Best-selling author. And a commentator. Where's the part about him being a comedian? Yeah. Please, if you're a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Wisconsin, please tell me that Tony Evers paid this no mind whatsoever. A little bit of good news. Once again, today, Representative David Cicilline and Senator Jeff Merkley, acting in concert, reintroduced the LGBTQ Equality Act in both houses of Congress. It has been introduced on a number of occasions since the 70s, but this could be the year that it becomes a reality. What it would do is protect LGBTQ people, women, and other minorities, because there are still 29 states in this country who have no protection whatsoever for such folks in employment, education, credit, jury service, federal funding, housing, public accommodations. And Representative Cicilline, in his address, and he's from Rhode Island. If you're listening, Albert, Charlene, is he your congressman? If he is, I'd be really proud to have him. And Senator Booker and Senator Baldwin joined Senator Merkley over on the Senate side in reintroducing the bill. And it is expected next week that Speaker Pelosi will let the bill go to the full House floor, not wasting a bunch of time with a bunch of the shilly-shallying in the in committee. It's going to go straight to the House floor next week for a full House vote. And there's every likelihood in the world that it will pass in the House. And then the question becomes what happens to it in the Senate. Speaker Pelosi said, "Our nation was founded on the promise that all are created equal and are worthy of dignity and respect. By reintroducing the Equality Act, we are making a commitment to this truth that all Americans must be treated equally under the law." I'm impressed. God knows we need it. It will make this country a better place. Representative Cicilline said in his statement today, and he did such a magnificent job during the impeachment trial as one of the managers. "In 2021, every American should be treated with respect and dignity. Yet in most states, LGBTQ people can be discriminated against because of who they are or who they love. It is past time for that to change. I'm proud to introduce the Equality Act today, and I look forward to continuing to work with Senator Merkley to get this bill signed into law." It's already passed the House once. It passed last year, or 2 years ago in 2019. It passed by 236 to 173 on a bipartisan basis. But then, of course, Moscow Mitch McConnell added it to the pile of other bills sitting in a pool of blood and dust on his desk as he continued to lord it over the rest of the nation on nothing more than the votes of a million or so Kentuckians who hate everybody else that isn't like them in the rest of the country. And in 2020, the Supreme Court stepped in Bostock versus Clayton County. That's when they ruled that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 protects everyone in the country from discrimination based upon sexual orientation or gender identity in the workplace. Just in the workplace. And of course, like everything else that we consider in 2020, we have to ask what the official diva of the Senate thinks. Jesus, I get tired of this. Because back in 2019, Joe Manchin refused to support it. You know, because gay people, lesbians, bisexual people, trans people, intersex people, asexual people, queer questioning, queer, don't deserve to be protected in Joe Manchin's world. Also, there's, you know, Bishop Willard Romney, who earned plaudits for his vote in the impeachment proceedings. Back when he was governor of Utah, or not Utah, Jesus, back when he was governor of Massachusetts, it's just so easy to make that mistake. Back when he was governor of Massachusetts, he looked at a group of same-sex parents and told them, "I didn't know you had families." He is presently expected to be a no vote as well in the Senate. And, of course, here's the other angle. The only way to pass this bill in the Senate without a 60-vote majority is by getting rid of the filibuster. And what a hobgoblin it has become. And Joe Manchin has so thoroughly embarrassed himself in announcing his opposition to ending the filibuster. Joe Manchin occupies the seat of the senior senator of West Virginia and is the person who was put in that seat upon the death of Robert C. Byrd. And so, thinking he will score points with the hillbillies back home, he's been all over TV saying, "Well, I'm protecting the filibuster because Senator Byrd thought it should be protected." Yep. And the fact of the matter remains that while I generally bristle when goddamn soulless ahistorical Republicans, "Robert Byrd was in the Klan." Yep, he was. Just like most every Republican's granddaddy or great-granddaddy. Hell, my granddaddy was. It was evil then, it's evil now. But Byrd was briefly in the Klan and repented of it. But he remained a racist. And in 1964, Robert C. Byrd used the filibuster to try to block passage of the Civil Rights Act. So Joe Manchin is, in fact, preserving the filibuster in the memory of a man who used the filibuster to try to prevent voting rights and civil rights from being extended to people of color and guaranteed and protected under law. He failed. Byrd did. But it does not make any less odious what he did. And the idea that the Atne Ute Aitbre, if you one what I ene me, Joe Manchin, is running around out there babbling about saving the filibuster because of Senator Byrd. Great God Almighty. So I'm working on something. I don't know if they'll publish it. But I'm working on a little something to try to get through to Senator Manchin. Not in terms of this silly primary horse shit that would just result in another Republican senator. No. But rather trying to get Joe Manchin to do what Robert C. Byrd eventually did, and that is repent of his racism. Because Joe's got a racist streak, too. Remember that he blocked, as I mentioned this the other day, he blocked the nomination by Barack Obama of a lawyer for the civil rights to head the civil rights division of the Department of Justice simply because of a client that lawyer had once had on an appellate brief. the client was, of course, black. Sickening. Just sickening. But you either say something about it and try to do something about it, or you accept the status quo. The Ted Cruz thing just gets worse and worse and worse as we enter the third hour of the program. Because now, Heidi Cruz, who was described as being insufficiently hot by Nitwit Nero, and Raffaelito just took it. The New York Times is reporting, text messages sent from Ms. Cruz to friends and Houston neighbors on Wednesday revealed a hastily planned trip. Their house was freezing, Heidi said. And she said they wanted to just get away till Sunday. So she invited the friends on her email list to join Familia Cruz at, get this, the Ritz-Carlton in Cancun. She said it's a great place. We stayed there a lot of times. It's got great security, and it's only $309 a night. And one of the people who received the text message leaked it to the New York Times. A second person on the thread said, yeah, oh yeah, she said it. And by the way, just as a reminder, Heidi Cruz is and remains a managing director at Goldman Sachs. And even Raffaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America's own Senate staff, would not give up his whereabouts. The last time we heard something like this, a governor of South Carolina had gone hiking the Appalachian Trail in Buenos Aires. Apparently, they did all of their hiking in a bed that weekend. In Buenos Aires. I had no idea the Appalachians extended to Buenos Aires. But again, the question remains, will it matter? Don't know. Don't know. What else? What else? Lauren Bobblehead Boebert is at it again. When she shows up on Zoom, there's a whole bunch of guns behind her because she's a gun fetishist. And she describes her display of shooting freedom protectors on her wall behind her as a shrine. Well, you only have a shrine for things you worship. So she may go out on the hustings and bill herself as a Christian. But in fact, she's just a gun worshiper. And apparently she sits on the Natural Resources Committee in the House. That'll be fun the next time we have an AIC Act hearing. And on the shelf behind her were, you know, it wasn't like a muzzle loader or a replica of the flintlock pistol that say, or cap lock pistol that Alexander Hamilton wanted to use to murder Aaron Burr but missed. No. She said, it's a shrine, and she said, and these are ready for use. This didn't sit well with Representative Jared Huffman from California. By Twitter, he showed a picture of Lauren Bobblehead Boebert with her guns and said, Republicans are trying to dismantle committee rules to prohibit firearms and dangerous weapons in the hearing room. The fact that we have a member of the committee fetishizing weapons with her Zoom background makes a clear case for why these rules are necessary. If somebody wants to have a shrine to their gun fetish as a Zoom backdrop in their private life, they can do that. But this is our hearing room, and at some point we will get past the COVID epidemic and we'll all start showing up in person, and our safety and our ability to conduct business civilly without feeling threatened is a relevant consideration, unfortunately. Now, the purpose of the hearing itself was to discuss guns and weapons on Capitol grounds. Because, among other things, they will propose, there's a rule prohibiting the carrying of deadly weapons, firearms, on Capitol grounds. And, among other things, the rule includes a ban on carrying weapons into the hearing room. The rules have already been approved on a voice vote after the January 6th attack on the Capitol by the kind of people who support the kind of people that Lauren Boebert is. And so during the committee meeting, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert said,
why does anyone think that they can cherry pick the Second Amendment and say that this is the one enumerated right that we can take away from people?
Well, stupid. Because you can't be trusted with a goddamn firearm and you're not a member of a well-regulated militia. And the rule has teeth. If members of Congress don't follow the security protocols, including the metal detectors, they can be fined. I hope they fine her whole fucking salary. And in response to that stupid cherry-picking line from this brutally ignorant woman, Representative Huffman replied, it's necessary that we lay down these ground rules that whatever your fetishes or feelings are about guns, you're not going to bring them into our committee room. Who says this is storage? These are ready for use. On whom, Bobblehead? On whom? Don Beyer gave her hell and said, who were you planning to shoot in a Zoom hearing? And then Katie Porter stepped in. God love her. I always thought my dirty dishes piled up and accumulating bacteria were the most dangerous thing in a Zoom background. Hashtag safe storage. And of course she will fundraise off of it, and the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers of hers who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings will eagerly give her money. And no, those weapons are not stored safely. So, ugh. But it's who Republicans are. They're a bundle of fetishes, whether it's fetuses or goons. And curiously enough, the people who said that they kept guns in case the jackbooted government ever tried to put its jackbooted jackboots down on our freedom-loving necks right there next to the tattoo that says, only God can judge me. Turns out that those assholes didn't defend the government. They attacked it. Earther says, these are ready for use. Translation, I'm ready to kilt you, libtards. Earther asking, why not bring them to the committee room? What if ISIS storms in from Mexico? How about then, Kincaid? Huh? What? Huh? Well, I'm a hell of a lot more worried about vanilla ISIS than ISIS. I'm a lot more worried about Y'all-Qaeda than Al-Qaeda. As to Ted in Cancun, Scott in San Diego says, what? There aren't any warm U.S. states in which to seek relief from the weather woes in Texas? I'm wondering if the president of Mexico will make a speech, as Trump once did, decrying the terrified, threatening, twisted types the United States is sending to Mexico. If Ted's an example, the Mexican president's list could be pretty scary.
They're not sending out their best. Some of them are good people.
If I were Mexico, I'd just outright put, don't come here, on Ted Cruz. But then that would cause an international incident then, wouldn't it? Sure it would. Then, speaking of January 6th, there's Suzanne Kay. Suzanne Kay was one of the attackers, allegedly, on January the 6th. And so, I guess, as something resembling a defense to the criminal complaint that was filed this past Monday. Well, now she's charged with interstate communication of a threat because she videoed herself with a bottle of cinnamon Jack Daniels. Oh, really? Did you know that there's peanut butter flavored bourbon out there now? God almighty. There's grape-flavored bourbon. Doesn't that kind of defeat the idea of bourbon? I mean, what's next? 100-year-old banana scotch? Ech! It's a good thing I kind of... Yeah. No, thank you. On January 28th, the FBI agent said, do you have proof that I was there? I didn't go to Washington. And then she invited, FBI agents to come talk to her at her home in Boca Raton, Florida. You know, for somebody who's all into protecting freedom, she never learned that rule about, not inviting the cops into your house. You got a warrant? No, we'll talk on the porch. And apparently she posts under the name Angry, all caps, Angry Patriot Hippie. And on February 9th, somebody hipped the FBI to the fact that she had uploaded a video to Facebook on January 31st. She captioned the video, fuck the FBI! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Yeah, you're right, Agnes. Peanut butter, whiskey, and sedition. That's going to be big. No, please don't let it be. Just please don't let it be. So on her video, hi, all my TikTok Patriot friends. Got to have a drink. And she's waving her bottle of cinnamon Jack Daniels. Just got a call from the FBI, and they want to come talk to me about my visit to D.C. on January 6th. I told them you can't come and talk to me unless I have counsel, and being that I can't afford counsel, you have to arrest me so I can get my right of counsel. You think I'm going to let you come fucking talk to me? She's still waving the bottle of cinnamon Jack. You're out of your motherfucking mind, bro. That's not going to happen. I'm a fucking patriot, and I exercise my First Amendment right. My freedom of peach. Cinnamon. The peach is crown royal. And my Second Amendment right to shoot your fucking ass if you come here. That's what triggered the interstate threat charge. And then, because she's apparently a real Lulu, angry fucking patriot, or whatever she calls herself, posted a second video and says, you come here and shoot your fucking ass. But this time she decided to DJ a little bit and she gave herself some background music. No, really. she played, and I don't even know if it was the original version or the cover, she played Every Breath You Take in the background. I know my fucking rights. My Second Amendment rights to carry a gun to shoot your fucking ass if you come to my house. So fuck you. Fuck you following me. I don't care. I'm glad you know who I am, motherfucker. She's got a rap sheet, too. Ms. K does. She got a 2020 bust for aggravated assault. And in 2010, she was busted for domestic battery, but both of those charges were later dropped. Well, I got me some guns, and I got me some Cinnamon Jack Daniels. These guns are not on display. Oh, wait, that's Lauren Boebert. These guns are ready to use. That's what Lauren Boebert said. I agree with Lauren Boebert. Oh, and a bit of a blast from the past. You remember when we had the story last year about the Attorney General of South Dakota, the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual, Republican Christian, Jason Ravensborg? He killed a guy last fall. We talked about it here. He ran over a guy named Joe Bover along U.S. Highway 14 on the 12th of September. He was coming back from coming back from some sort of a campaign shindig, and ran right over Joe Bover, according to allegations and published reports. Well, he's going to go to trial for it. Now, granted, he hasn't been charged with murder or anything, because, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. But he has been charged with using a mobile electronic device, failing to drive in lane of traffic, and moving from a lane unsafely, and careless driving. All of which are misdemeanors. Nick Nemec, who is the cousin of Joe Bover, said, "The siblings want justice. They lost a brother. Joe is the middle child in a 7-kid family, and as such, when growing up, had closer relationships with all his siblings than the kids on either end would have had with the kids on the opposite end. The cousins are all mad as hell. They lost a cousin that they'd played with growing up. He bought a house, got married, and in short, he was putting down roots. He liked to garden. He was good at it." And then the Attorney General of South Dakota, whose governor, by the way, is a homicidal maniac in her own right, Kristi Noem, who let her state burn and let people die of the pandemic. But this guy just ran over a dude in the middle of the night. And, of course, he can't face felony DUI with death charges because he managed to hide until he was sober enough to be interviewed by law enforcement. "Oh, no, I was totally sober. Come get me, motherfucker." Oh, wait, no, that's the cue ball in Florida. Sheesh. Well, here we are, the third hour of the program's fast passing away. The program may be two at this point because got $97 in challenges on the table. No responses to it. That happens, I guess. But let's go over and talk to Todd. Hey, Todd, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, my friend, tonight?
It could be a hell of a lot worse. Didn't get the ice. Nice clear roads today. I couldn't be happier.
Yes. I'm going to be slow, be mindful. I'm very worried by our friends and fellow Americans in Texas.
I'm worried, yeah.
And I don't know if you got the text. I've been in and out. We talked about schools at one point. But I've noticed that even like the house I live in South Carolina, I don't think it was made for this type of weather.
No, it's not.
One side, it's not. I face due north and south, and the north side is a constant battle with mildew. Now, I'm thinking, you know, Texas is, you know, we don't like regulations and free-for-all type place. Like a lot of places in the south, once you get out into the county, you can kind of do what you want almost. But why is it that the power grid, the water system, those houses aren't made for that type of weather? I don't think.
No. And, you know, but you have to understand, Texas is like a separate nation in some degree, to some degree. Every state in the union is. They're a bunch of little petty sovereign kingdoms and run by, in many instances, by a bunch of petty sovereigns. And so, you know, there are great people in Texas. And Texas may turn blue in 22. Hey, there's a slogan, blue in 22. But you know, there's an information or a disinformation war going on there that our side just isn't particularly good at. And so they've preached for years that there's no such thing as climate change. Even though the winters are colder and the summers are hotter, there's no climate change. So, you know, why would you buy wind turbines, for instance, that won't freeze up in hard weather? Hard weather is never going to get there because there's no climate change. Jesus Christ, Todd, did you see the news out of Saudi Arabia?
No, please.
Saudi Arabia is getting hammered by a huge snowstorm. I saw a video, you know how like at Christmas with the crash?
What?
And
that's the funniest shit.
No, it ain't. No, it ain't. You know how at Christmas you put up the little Christmas menagerie or whatever the hell it is, and the camels are sitting there and they've knelt down and they're just sitting there adoring little baby Jesus.
Right.
And what? Well,
right,
I saw a real live, no kidding, video of camels sitting down somewhere in the Middle East being covered in snow. And granted, yeah, it's February in the northern, and it's winter in the northern hemisphere. And I suppose the temptation is strong with these right-wing assholes to say something like, well, of course it's cold, it's winter. But I'm so old, I can remember when Jim Asshole Inhofe in the United States Senate took a snowball into the well of the Senate to prove that climate change wasn't real because it was freezing cold and snowing in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only true.
Yeah, right. That's it. That's all. It's only true.
That's what we used to call facts way back in, I don't know what, 2006.
Yep, back then.
Back then. Well, you know what? Maybe these what are they called? Maybe a vortex. You know, where something happens up in the North Pole, the pole region, and then it drops, it opens up. Yeah.
Well, and in this case, there. It's the bipolar vortex. The polar vortex is split in two. Do I have that right?
Wow. Well, if it's bi, sure.
It dropped like a paralyzed falcon, and that's how come it's freezing in Texas. I mean, it's bizarre. There are places way far north of Texas that are warmer than Texas is.
Well, you know, it's one thing looking at the pictures, but when I thought about Houston is subtropical.
Yeah.
Houston's hot and muggy. Like, Houston is warm.
Houston is sticky and gooey and, right.
You know, like, you know, Houston, even Mobile and Fairhope. And
You know Fairhope?
I've been there. I've been a lot. The older I get, I have been very fortunate.
Do you know Foley?
Don't know Foley, but I remember Fairhope because I had one of the best barbecue sandwiches I ever had. And the beach, like when you get out of Mobile, is Daphne and Fairhope.
Yeah,
and,
Daphne. I was about to ask you if you knew Daphne.
Yeah, And I was dating a woman named Daphne. We were still.
Yeah. Wait, was she Daphne from Daphne?
No, Daphne from. Matter of fact, she's a DR from Philly. DR, you know, Dominica. Dominica. I like the island women. I, you know what? I always was attracted to island women. I don't know why. It's just something. And you don't even. I didn't even know until you meet the family. You don't know. Nothing like an island woman. I'm serious, man. That's a whole separate subject.
Well, that snowstorm was in Saudi Arabia, and the camels were in Saudi Arabia, and they were looking more than a little bit confused. The fuck is this? We never expected to, you know, we're the ships of the desert, but we didn't expect to be carrying frozen water on our backs. It's supposed to be in the hump, not on the hump.
Well, right. That's funny. Come on.
Well, I was proud of it. Dave said, it was on the fly.
Robin, you have been really, I mean, you must have been going to classes now for the cowbell. You're playing that sucker for all it's worth.
Well, I don't give them to myself, so because I don't want to make other people jealous.
You can you're working it, man. You make it talk. You make that sucker talk. That slow dead when we just get like 2.5 and it's drawn out over 5 seconds for 2.5.
Yeah, that's a very slow cow. It's a lethargic sheep. Just kind of fuck it, coming down the hill. It's the first time it's snowed in Saudi Arabia in 50 years.
I don't 50 years, Jesus Christ. Yep. And we're in trouble. Thank God. I'm so glad. I don't know if I can handle that stress right now in Texas, man. You know, their pipes, when this warms up, it's going to be a mess. You know, the streets, man, underground pipes, they're all fucked. They're going to be fucked up. The water mains.
Well, I mean, where's in a place like Houston, where's the frost line? You know, because usually when you dig when you dig footers, you have to dig down past the frost line. What? The frost line's what? An inch down?
It's below. It's at or below sea level, right? Now, what happened to Galveston? We hadn't heard about what happened to them because they're an island off of Houston, I believe.
Oh. Yeah, and all those warm Gulf breezes, not so much.
Not so much. Hey, you know what? You know what sparked me to call was I was sitting here and I was just I took someone for the vaccine today and that felt great. I mean, I'm serious. It was like. To see someone get it, and I know someone else directly who got one today also. So we're trying to move forward. But when I heard you talk about libations, and I'm sitting here and I'm just nursing this wonderful, oh my God, I had this bubblegum flavored pinch, and it is just outstanding.
You little, I knew you. Yeah, how long did bubblegum flavored pinch? Jesus Christ, please. Yeah, it's all sweet. Kind of tastes like a shot of whiskey at a carnival.
What the fuck is wrong with these? I lost my shit, man. When you understand what bourbon and scotch are about, you talking about flavor? What the fuck are you doing? It's like taking oxygen out of air. So what good is it?
I know.
What the fuck, man? What is wrong with these? Go ahead, because I'm too fucking upset now. Go ahead, say something.
It does the same thing to me. And apparently the peanut butter bourbon, you mix that with a little bit of grape rum, and because grape rum, and then you and a little bit of seltzer, and you've got a little bit of seltzer, and you've got a peanut butter and jelly spritzer. You know, liquor for people who don't like liquor.
You know what? Maybe you just don't drink. Maybe you're just not a drinker. How about that? Just don't drink.
Why? Right. You know. Maybe you're more of a pot smoker or a brownie eater. So it's okay.
Right. That's what vodka is for, dum-dums. That's what vodka is for.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
What was that slogan? It's only the truth.
It's just the truth. But that's beautiful. Maybe you're just not a drinker. I mean, I thought that was what Mai Tais and daiquiris and pina coladas were for. Yeah, margaritas are for tequila that you would never drink unadorned. You know, margaritas are for Cuervo.
Right.
So you can't taste the tequila. Because then you can't taste the not tequila either, for that matter. Oh, God.
Yeah. We should have a, you know what? It would be nice to talk about liquor. Just talk about what liquor is about. Because I'll be honest with you.
Does the woman in Florida with the bottle of Cinnamon Jack, I mean, does she live by herself? I mean, maybe she could have a parrot or something that's like, bark, don't make that call, bark. Anybody, a goldfish that would forcefully bubble at her.
The goldfish from Dr. Seuss. Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
kill these people. Ready for years.
You know what? Seriously, there is no flick. It's everything's coffee is an acquired taste. You know, maybe a lot of things are. You know, we all get that, but most of us remember the first time we had a good bourbon or a good Scotch drink the way that was palatable to you.
Well, I mean, I remember my first coffee because I grew up thinking that coffee was the most wonderful smelling stuff I had ever had run past my olfactory nerve as a kid. And then and of course, I never got to drink it because it'll stunt your growth. And I was supposed to be 6'4". Oh, if only they'd known. And so when I finally got to taste it, it was like, wait a minute. This doesn't taste like that smells. It tastes like battery acid. Of course, it was, you know, 8 o'clock coffee or Kroger, you know, back before we turned into coffee snobs.
Right.
But pretty quick, you know, as soon as I got up into my, you know, mid to late teens and needed to stay awake, then suddenly the purpose of coffee was made clear.
Oh.
And, you know, the reason I can't deal with caffeine to this day, Todd, is because I abused coffee badly. I was telling Jessica up in Minnesota about this. I, you know, on the midnight shift at the radio station, I was good for 2 or 3 pots a night by myself.
Jesus.
And eventually it all caught up. No, by the way, as far as old infrastructure, Jeremy in Vermont said, we still dig up wood water pipes here in the Burlington area, as well as the occasional British soldier grave from the Revolutionary War. Makes you wonder which went in first, the red coat or the wood pipe.
That's beautiful. I understand that. I do. They find it in Philadelphia still. Yeah, a lot of older cities have the hollowed out oak trunks.
By the way, Scott in San Diego wants in on this. Bob and Todd, well, hell's bells, guys. Why stop with those putrid potables? Phillips screwdriver, vodka, orange juice, and milk of magnesia.
I want to thank Scott, and every time I think of Sanka, of course, you know what I think it's got, or Sanka-like substance. But honestly, now I'm not. There are a few things in life to get me going like that violent, and it was so funny because I was about to ask you. I was going to ask you when you were going to play that again, because it's something. I don't know that burns in that time of my life, and those violins is just. And history and everything, it's hard to explain. That's all I can say.
No, that thing just conjures, doesn't it?
It does. it means something. It's powerful. It's, you know, every there's something for everyone. Like, some people like the bubblegum pinch, but my thing. So, you know, they can. I just I know I'm off on the tangent. I'm shaking my head. I don't understand that. When you get some nice,
yeah, it's the cotton. It's the cotton candy añejo that does it for me.
I just don't know. Well, yeah, you and Scott were going at it last night. That was really good. I have to say that.
And, wait, Tutti Frutti Bailey's Irish Cream.
Oh, Jesus. Just get on the merry-go-round and get some cotton candy. You know,
wait,
God.
Spumoni Drambuie.
This is a thing now.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is.
Save me some room in the challenge. I'm not saying how much, but just a little bit. And as soon as I get off the phone, I'm going to get on.
And you know, it's I actually thought of you yesterday, because I walked into the Wiggling Pig, and my buddy there said, "Sick of this shit yet?" And it's not even that bad. It's just been gray and ugh. And I said, "Oh, I'm sick of it." And he looked at me and said, "I want warm weather so bad." I said, "Oh yeah, I'm ready to fire up the smoker." He said, "What goes on first?" And I said, "You know, since grilling season ended, I've been finding these wonderful cheeses across the river, and I think I'm going to do one of those trifold pork loins."
Mm-hmm.
"And I'm going to stuff it with that crumbled blueberry Stilton."
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's going to take it over. That's going to be beautiful.
But you know what else I got to thinking about that would probably really augment that? I know it's going to sound crazy. Celery. Sticks of celery.
No, that sounds good. That's a nice foil to the Stilton. That'll add and kind of, you know, celery is strange. Celery is strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, when you don't have celery seed or celery in a certain dish, you'll know something's missing. You know?
Yeah.
And when you put it in, you're like, "I don't know what it is, but it tastes right now."
Maybe one layer of the trifold could be celery and slivered almonds, and the other layer of the trifold could be the crumbled Stilton.
Right. And you want to select probably like less than paper thin on the celery.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And ooh, we're just ad libbing here, but thinking about, so on the Stilton side, maybe splash some still Moscato on the Stilton, and then have the celery on the other, and then tie it, and yeah. Oh, by the way, Dan suggests a pile driver. That's vodka and prune juice. Why? Oh, there we go. Prune flavored aquavit.
Jesus.
There's a winner. But no, I think I'm going to do that, and I think it could be really, really tasty.
I can smell it now. You got me going with the Stilton and the celery. I'm thinking, like, now I want to make a spread. You know what I mean? Some homemade.
Oh yeah. Well, and in that case, it's like Randy and PA just said, you could take this the crumbled blueberry Stilton, and you could use the dried celery flakes from Penzies. And if you wanted to make a spread, man, the celery flakes would rehydrate in the Stilton, and yeah, that'd be something.
That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it just? And I'm just so eager. I want to make another paella, because I barely got my feet wet in terms of paella making over the last summer. This summer we really. Yeah, it is. That's the thing. 31 days to the end of winter.
See, this month has rolled. This mug has just, I don't know what. We were talking today, my coworker. Tomorrow's the 19th.
Yeah.
And the birds are out, like I heard you say the other day. I hear them in the morning. Now, we had thunderstorms last night. Now, let me tell you something. It has rained so hard. I mean, it was just incredibly loud last night. And I hope no one's out on those roads around here because it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You don't know the road is closed until it's too late. You know, there's no second warning. There's no primary and then secondary warning. There's just, hey, you're up on it. So that's the way it is. But, what? Washington Journal. I don't know. I just started listening to that show. Somebody told me about it one time. I said, I'm just kidding. But seriously.
I caught that. Yeah, this dude named Steve turns you on to Washington Journal. He said, hey, man, the first episode's free.
And then you're on your own, man. You're still in 8-tracks. Yeah. So, listen, no. But
still
the
selling 8-tracks. I listen to him. I listen to him in my Gremlin.
Yeah. We just went in a loop, man. We just went in there and clink, clink. That was a big deal back in the day. You could fumble.
Didn't it suck when they got fucked up and you could hear all the tracks at once?
And then you pull it out and the tape's all in there. You got to rip the tape out. And, oh, shit.
And I think I told the story about the terrible, terrible head cleaner mistake, right? I was probably 20 or so, and I was home from college and out at a party, and I was the designated driver, and I was behaving myself, but I did allow myself. There was a little something. Somebody was passing a cigarette around, and I needed a cigarette.
Wait a minute, were you being sober and responsible?
Yeah, I was. Yes. Enough? Yes, upstanding even, bushy-tailed. But so there was I was out of cigarettes and somebody was passing around one, so I thought I'd just till I could get to the store, and I honked away on, and then oh my God, and it wasn't a cigarette, and so my eyes was like all Rand McNally like, with the little red lines and little blue lines over the white background, and I went out to my car thinking, I don't want to look like this. And I reached into the glove compartment for the little handy-dandy bottle of Clear Eyes that I kept on hand and fumbled around. It was dark until I found the first plastic bottle, uncapped it, and, tilted back, pulled the eyelid down, and one drop. And it was not Clear Eyes.
Oh, shit.
It was head cleaner.
Jesus. And you can still see?
Oh, that shit burned. I went a running and stumbling. Somebody get me to the bathroom sink, and was sitting there flushing that cold water up into that one alcoholic eye. Oh, yeah.
That's what I was about to say. That's an industrial alcohol. That's that shit in your fucking tin can. That's not funny. Jesus Christ. Wow, that's fucked up. That's so fucked up. Your eyes? No, seriously, you can still see?
Oh, yeah. I was pretty quick on that. It was only one drop. Because I learned pretty quick.
Shit,
let's see.
Don't hurt.
I was driving a
open your eyes.
Driving a 1981 Chrysler LeBaron Brown with a tan vinyl roof.
Wait a minute. Was it the X LeBaron, the X car 81? Was that the shorty?
Yeah, well, it was a square sedan with that bulletproof Chrysler slant 6.
Well, the reason I asked, was it like the diplomat thing,
it's co-equal nameplate within the Dodge mark was the Diplomat.
Well, that was a good car. Those cars were good cars.
Yeah, that
was a tank. Yeah, those suckers. Those were police cars in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that thing. And it was rear wheel drive, and it got pretty decent mileage, and it was a sled.
You could bang that. That sucker was rugged, and it was good in the snow. Everything. That's
roomy. It had bench seats front and back. You could cram, you know, seven of your best friends into it.
You were like the junior executive. You had the nice vehicle. Okay.
The junior executive.
See, you had the responsibility. Like, get Bob the keys. Bob will go to the store. Bob will handle it. He'll be back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't worry. He'll bring the change back. You can trust Bob.
Precisely.
Better remember, every unit has that guy. You were that guy. Every unit has that guy. Like, all right, we can't go, man. You got to go.
I can't drive,
man. But it was okay. Yeah.
Nah, I got this.
You know, because you could handle your shit. That's why.
And so. That guy. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
How's Agnes doing?
She's okay. She's beginning to get a little antsy. Wants her vaccine. Wants warm weather. Wants to get beyond the boundaries of the mansion grounds. And I want her to have. What did Joe Manchin? Joe Manchin. Jesus, I'm so sorry. What did Joe Biden say the other night? Everybody should be able to have a vaccine by July.
Yeah. Well, okay. We can talk about, you know, well, we're some time ago, but positive stuff. Now, that's good. And you see, we, you know, your program addressed that. You see, they're using the National Guard like they should have been doing all along.
Right.
We see how botched this whole shit was. Look how much we've gotten done.
Right. And with the exception of the possible cluster coming out of Super Bowl Sunday, we should be past that by now. Numbers are dropping. They're not fudging the numbers. On the other hand, we do still have monumental dickheads like white supremacist adjacent, only became governor of Florida with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis and Klansmen, Ron Monkey up DeKlantis. People have been criticizing him for fudging the numbers in Florida. And now, he opened up a pop-up vaccine clinic near Tampa. And the only people who would get vaccines from that pop-up clinic were residents of affluent, mostly white, mostly Republican areas of Manatee County.
Mm-hmm.
3,000 residents to be vaccinated in only two zip codes. And they were hand-selected by Ron Monkey up DeKlantis and the county commissioner, Vanessa Baugh, instead of the vaccine lottery system.
That's a wealthy county, I think.
Oh, yeah. And so DeKlantis responded by saying, well, hell, you don't like the way we did it? We just won't give out no vaccines at all. Fuck y'all. I am, of course, paraphrasing.
He doesn't deviate from his fucking game plan. He is who he is.
Right. Well, I mean, he's got Nitwit Nero in his state now. He's got the awesome cosmic power of Julius Geezer. Motherfucker. No, I'm sorry. That's Ms. K over in Boca Raton. Motherfucker.
Well, you know, I was flabbergasted at the rhetoric talking about the college dropout with the large bank account who recently died. Wait a minute, the community. I don't want
one whole semester.
See, look, Dad, come on.
I didn't get to ask you the other night. Bill jumped in and offered a little bit of help. But West Whiteland, Pennsylvania, Chester County.
Well,
where Mr. Vandervermin lives.
Right.
How white is West Whiteland and East Whiteland?
Just like it sounds.
I mean, that's kind of brassy naming your township's Whiteland, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Now remember, now things have changed. There's a lot of, because all that is near Kennett Square, and there's a lot of Hispanic people, you know, Spanish speaking folk who pick the mushrooms, and you have to have a certain amount of people around to do the work, like be your domestic, and you know. But that's money. That, you know, that's horse country. Chester, Westchester. Now Chester City is awful. I mean, I won't say that, but it's, you know, it's rugged. That's right on 95, but it's in Chester County, you know, below the airport, below Philadelphia Airport.
I know where that is. I dropped Chris off there.
Yeah. Matter of fact, you go there if you go up leave Philadelphia going toward Elkton, you're gonna go right through that. Yeah. And what happens is that you head west and you go into the, you know, the nice part.
Yeah, and Randy in PA tells us it's horsey farm country.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. I mean, and you know, you got to have a dollar or two to have horses. So, it is horse country, you know, where I am. You know, so it is connection.
Oh, there. Yeah, yeah. You got that big-ass polo party there, right?
Yeah. Well, like, I could almost see it from here. But, you know, I'd live where the folks who would do this, well, let me not. You know, anyway, this place is changing quick. And, I mean, do you know my property values are going up 13% a year?
Jesus.
You can't put your money in the bank and make 13%.
No, you got it. No, you can't get 13% on GameStop. Sorry, that was uncalled.
I sent a message. Yeah, and they're improving infrastructure, so I'm holding on for a little bit.
Yeah, they're aiming to run some folks off their property.
Don't you see it?
They'll probably eventually they'll do that to me too, because you know, I don't know if you caught this or not, but the New River Gorge National River is now the New River Gorge National Park.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Yeah, not that I'm complaining, but I mean, just in the time that I've lived here, I've watched this place change. It looks like it hasn't changed. My little town is deader than Pharaoh's cat.
Mm-hmm.
But other places, yeah, big change. I mean, now when you drive across the New River Gorge Bridge, and I got a photo of the bridge. I don't know who took it, so I feel kind of bad about posting it. But it's the most dramatic, most beautiful photo I've ever seen of our bridge. It was shot yesterday. You can see blue skies in the background. And it's almost like through a living lens of snow-covered branches and just the bridge in the distance. And I saw it and went, wow. It was magnificent. But no, now, where you couldn't a few years back, now, when you drive across the New River Gorge Bridge, you can see a scattering of McMansions perched on the rim of the gorge.
Damn.
A view to make billionaires weep.
Okay, you know what? They didn't finally make up. They always knew it was beautiful. I mean, when you see the pictures, but they waited. So that tells you maybe they're going to slow down on the blasting. So that's the...
Well, it won't... No, I mean, we're trying to veilize the New River Gorge. You know, they'll never have to put up with... You know, we've done all the blasting over here. I was trying to explain to somebody why so many of the problems with the house that we have. This house was pretty decent until they blew up the mountain out the road from us. But that cracked the foundation and poisoned our well. And shit started going south from there. Yeah. Oh, well. I do have some thanks to send out. We're getting off the schneid a little bit. Our anonymous friends, Biden likes wage hikes. Challenge got met, so that leaves a $22 challenge courtesy of Steve in New York, and the $25 challenge from Joey and Giraffe yet to go. So, and that'll get us down out of, you know, hopefully get us far enough down that we're not looking at $1,000 tomorrow just to keep the program on the air. So that's good. Thank you, Brian, and thank you to Gary. Thank you, Brian and Gary, very, very much indeed. It is deeply appreciated. And so, you know, just a little bit of time left in the program. We could, you know, we could knock down those other, that other $47 worth of challenges, and that'd be fantastic. We'd be.
I think it'd be more than that by the time overnight elapses.
Yeah, you know, not a lot of activity overnights these days. I don't know why, but yeah, downloads are up.
Well,
I don't mean to fret. I shouldn't. We'll figure out a way. I hope.
You know, it always works out. It'll work out.
Yeah, we watched that. It'll work out. Agnes and I were feeling a little sentimental the other night, and we fired up Shakespeare in Love. And I love that. I love that line all through that movie. It all works out. How? I don't know. It's a mystery.
It does. It's like, I mean, literally, the end of your rope, it's like it keeps going. The rope just magically sprouts like a mushroom.
Oh, and hey, I got to share something real quick because I was really tickled to hear from our pal Bernadette. And a lot of people have written into me asking me about the salve for what ails you. John Britovo hipped us to. And I got a note from Bernadette. She has set up a website specifically to handle, or not a website, but an email address. And she told me that I can share it with the community at large. You can write her. She'll tell you how much it costs. But if you would like to get some of the salve for what ails you, and I tell you what, Agnes loves it. And we use it about every night before bedtime, just, you know, on my rotten neck and her achy places, and just it's magnificent. And you can email Bernadette directly at Prees Trees. That's P as in Jesus. What's P? I don't know. P as in Paul. P as in peanut. PreesTrees, Prees Trees at asis.com, asis.com. Prees Trees at asis.com. And it's fantastic stuff. Bernadette said, I wanted to thank you so much for the kind words about Prees Trees. I've received about 3 orders since Friday. I'm so humbled. Thank you so much, and please don't hesitate to contact me. So I hope other folks, because this has been a game changer for us. I've had it since like Friday or Saturday, and we've been using the daylights out of it. And it is helpful beyond my ability to express. It just works. And it's so much better than gobbling ibuprofen, frankly.
If people have any doubt about the powers of CBD, you better look at number one. Look at the folk who have been ad hoc, been doing this for, you know, decades. Number one, in any way, shape, or form. But number two, look at NFL players who are retired. They've been beat up most of their lives, and they're hurting, and
it was life changing. Yeah,
right. Your younger cohorts. And number three, there is research, and the best research I've seen has been out of Israel. And I think they were the first ones. I could be wrong, but we have receptor sites for that, just like with opioids.
Yeah.
And they counter our linear with our lymph node system. And so it's like more me. This is why it just agrees with some people the first time, some not. But, you know, there's a reason. We just keep fucking up. Everything, even I don't care if you believe in God or whatever, everything we need is on this planet. And we have just been crazy bad about taking care of our house.
Well, I mean, what is it? What does it say in Genesis? I mean, I don't put a lot of stock in the magic and the baloney. I don't put any stock in it, frankly. But there are, you know, they're myths, okay? And myths contain a seed of cultural teaching. And somewhere in Genesis, there's a line where the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky tells the paltry humans, "Behold, I give you every plant that doth bear seed."
Right.
Or every green herb or something like that.
On the earth for the use of man and for cat. Right. That's in Genesis. It's right in the beginning. But, I mean, you use your common sense. We keep fighting against what we have most abundant, the sun. Even the ancients knew, the sun. Ra, the sun god. Now, we can get into James Campbell. There's a reason that Jesus and some of those other folks had a halo behind their head. They came from the Egyptians. Ra, the sun god.
Yeah.
There's a lot to dissect there, but, you know, I think it coincides with what's going on now. Look at this flurry of activity in the midst of all this bullshit we're having to deal with. Scientists are moving forward. You see how much flurry of activity is in space right now with Mars and the moon.
Oh, that thrilled me to no end, the landing on Mars today. I mean, I felt like a little kid again. It was beautiful.
This is a new, isn't it beautiful? Now, but wait a minute. We all remember. You've been paying attention because you were that guy. You know, you've been paying attention. Now, remember, when we were young people, they said, oh, well, you know, there's no water anywhere else but Earth.
Oops.
Then it was like, well, there might be some water on the moon. Well, yeah, there's water on the moon, but it's locked in rocks.
And you know, eventually, the scientists did figure out there is water on the little known Jovian moon called Philae.
Mm.
There's water.
Oh, water. I heard. I heard. That's why you can hear me laugh, because I know it probably just gets too loud when I laugh. I'm trying not. You know, I'm not a DJ or anything, but I understand. Maybe it blanks it out. But listen, there was this guy. I used to, like, personally, I couldn't stand this fucker. I would never be in the same room with him. And I'm not going to say his full name, but let's say his initials, A.B. And, you know, he was like the Rush Limbaugh of late night. And I listen when I come home, you know, after being out all night, whatever, put the radio on, get in bed, depending on what I was doing. And listen, and he used to have this guest on over the years named Richard Hoagland, who was like a pseudo, I don't know if he's a real scientist or doctor, but he has a somewhat of a pedigree. Let's say he's an author, that we can say it with firm fact. However, he said from the very beginning, there is water on Mars, and he just stayed with it. And he didn't agree. He knew that AB was like a right wing weirdo gun nut, you know. But that's okay. You know what? This is America. You go to work with people you don't agree with, and that's fine. You take
happens
the best.
Happens term. All the time.
All the time. This is what makes us stronger, because we have the wherewithal to look beyond that. And it's called being mature. So anyway, and he was right. Now we know that there's a reason it looks like the desert, and you can see the floodplains. But see, there's more going on. Now we got to relook at Sidonia. You know, take another look at that, because I think maybe.
But you do have to be careful when you're flying your probe spacecraft past that little known Jovian moon called Philae. Because they have been known to throw batteries at spacecraft in outer space.
Well, they nothing.
I'm sorry, I just had to work it a little bit, Todd.
You can't. You got to do it. I mean, it's just.
Hey,
it's just,
they're throwing D cells at us.
It's just the truth. Can you imagine how much?
It's
that
just
hurt?
The truth.
only in South Philly.
Oh, shame on me. I loved my trip to Philly. I hope I get to go back someday. I was talking with Chris in Germany at one point. I think it would be great. I would love to do this. I'd love to go. I'd love, you know, of course, this was also pre-pandemic. I would love to go to Philly with Dr. Bill. Can you imagine? You know, walking around the historic district and having Dr. Bill just talk about all these. Yeah, well, you know, and Jefferson and Adams and they hung out in that little red brick over there. Oh, it would be magnificent. And I still want to take Agnes to her great 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 granddaddy's farm over there on the Schuylkill.
You know, there is something to be said. And seriously, about what you're talking about, because when you go in taverns in American history, that's where shit happened.
That's where shit went down.
That's where shit went down. Deals were made. You just went to the courthouse to have the clerk record what you'd already agreed on. Taverns is where you slept when you were traveling. You stopped at the tavern because you could have a drink, get some food, and go upstairs and go to sleep. Because
I wonder if there's like a I wonder if there's like a really awesome history somewhere, and you know, not the dry, boring, you know, tales told by white men wearing corduroy jackets with leather elbow patches. No, real the real gritty stuff of the history of shit that has happened in this country in taverns. Because I can think of two or three.
There's a book at work about that. There's one that I know of. I'm not kidding. Because that's a big deal. They're on the old map. That's how you knew where you were. McClinney Tavern. You knew you were in the town you needed to be in. But I just want to make this quick point because this what you're talking about. When you are on those stones, those Belgian blocks, those old cobblestone streets, and you go into a tavern where people have been drinking for 250, 325 years.
There's a different kind of buzz in a place like that.
You say it again, please.
Yeah, there's a different kind of buzz in there. It used to blow me away. I mean, there was a lot of the negativity of, you know, slave state and all of that stuff. Oh, my God, don't get me started. But it used to be when I would drive from Morgantown home to Alabama and I was in college, I always tried to time it so that I would knock off halfway at roughly Bardstown, Kentucky.
That's where the distilleries are.
Well, yeah, it most assuredly is. But it was the intersection once upon a time of the great north-south and the great east-west roads. And there was a tavern there where the Crown Prince of France in exile, Louis-Philippe, had put up for a while when he was traveling in America and eagerly trying to avoid having his head removed from his shoulders during the terror. And he got bored, and since he had been classically trained, he began painting murals on the walls. It was called the Old Talbot Tavern. And you could stay there. And they had a great little restaurant. They had a, you know, they had a dance band back then in the 80s. You know, and I mean a dance band. I mean, you know, horns, you know, piano, drums. And you talk about a vibe. But anyway, the Crown Prince got bored. And because he was classically trained, he began to paint scenes on the walls of his room. And a circus came through town, and he painted, like, the cage with the lion in it, and it was right beneath his window. And he painted another landscape of Don Quixote tilting at the windmill. And, you know, a little less than 100 years later, the James boys came through because they were pals with the sheriff of Nelson County, Kentucky. And they got all liquored up in the same room, got blind drunk, and took out their revolvers and took target practice at the windmill. And the bullet holes were still in the wall. Unfortunately, the place caught fire and burned. But it was that kind of place. Stayed in, and will stay there if I ever get there again. Stayed in a hotel in New Orleans that was a tavern where the birth of Texas and the Texas Revolution against the non-slave holding Mexican government was conspired. It's a different kind of buzz in those places. It really, really is.
It is.
And then, of course, where I stayed in Philly was that Wyndham Hotel was built on the site of the one of the first buildings of Mr. Franklin's university.
Mm-hmm.
Penn. And that had a different buzz. And in fact, I was really, really missing Agnes on that trip. I always miss her when I'm not there, but I wrote a note to her, and it had something in there about I fear for the moral safety of these young men attending Franklin's new university, for they are very loud at this very late hour.
Damn, it's still like that at 36 and Walnut. Oh, that's too funny. And they get, those Penn kids get drunk.
We've talked about how Ivy League universities have things to be ashamed of now. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz going to Harvard and Yale's law schools. And then there's the recently passed illegitimate president of the United States who, by some level of skullduggery, managed to get in and befoul Mr. Franklin's university. Because, you know, they always talk about the University of Virginia. Well, you know, that's Mr. Jefferson's university. Well, Penn is motherfucking Ben Franklin's university.
Yep.
And at least he wasn't a slave owner. You know, all that Quaker stuff going on around. Oh, it just blew my mind. Just ruined me. Oh, I was just eat up with it. And I was very lucky in that there was one night that I got to run around with Arnold. He was there. He was there producing for Rick Smith, and he
really?
Came, yeah. And he came by late one evening and said, "Let's walk around the old town." And we did, and it was awesome.
Did you go down like Second and Market, Third and Market, Dock Street?
Oh yeah, we went. You know, we went down into the old quarter down by the river.
Right.
Yeah.
Penn's Landing. See, that was the best. That's where I used to hang out, like, wanted to play Happy Hour, because it's just a great place to be. The vibe is right.
And Chris and I wandered around down there, and it was hot. Jesus, it was hot. But it was so much
fun. It was muggy. And you can smell the ocean water comes up to Delaware. It almost breaks right around there. It's that mix, you know. And sometimes the tall ships are right there in the harbor. It's fun down there. It's a lot, and it's easy to get to.
You don't think about it if you've never been to and don't know Philadelphia. You don't think about that part of Philly. I just got a note from Lee in New York saying years ago I was taken to a business lunch at Francis Tavern in New York City, and I didn't get to go there on my trip there. That's another go back and see it. But they're all over the country. You know, there's an old saying. In terms of the white European colonization of the eastern seaboard of the United States, the English came and built a house, the Germans came and built a barn, and the Scottish came and built a still. And so the first and most important place in any of these white colonization communities was the drinking joint. And, you know, this country was founded by people. And, you know, Dr. Bill and I have shared a laugh over this on many occasions. These Republicans were, oh, you know, our founding fathers. Blah, blah, blah. This country was founded by white men drunk, wasted out of their minds, right there in your beloved Philadelphia. In the summer of 1776, they were hammering back 2 gallons of wine a day and chasing it with a fucking shot of laudanum back.
They were lit.
Yeah. They were fried.
they were lit. And don't forget about the Applejack, you know, apple cider.
Oh, yeah. The religiously uptight. You know, I won't drink wine. I won't drink beer. I won't drink hard liquor. Give me the hard cider, Marge.
Look,
this country was founded by wasted people.
Well, you know, that's look, man. This is it's America. Come on, they tear shit up. We're all here. You know, this is what it is. It's a big, beautiful country, man. And there's enough room for everyone who operates within just a modicum of parameters of decency. We're not asking a whole lot. We're really not.
No.
We're asking people not to be fucking crazy.
Well, it's like my pal Terry says. She said, "All we're asking for is to have the same rights as in the United States. All we're asking for is to have the same rights as white Christian men. That's all."
Well, they want, you know what? You have been saying this. First of all, your program is missed. The name is not, you know, it should be ahead of the curve. That really is the appropriate. That's the subtext, the subtitle of your program. It should be, number one. But, you know, for instance, they're about to outlaw basically by action all abortions in the state. And they had to haggle. They had to dicker and dither about whether you're a rapist. You should have to keep your rapist child, the child of your rape, be it your daddy, your brother, or the murderer, whatever, the home invader that killed your father and get you pregnant. Yeah, you got to keep that baby because you want to look at that baby every day of your life and send him to trade school and to learn how to. I'm just beside myself. I'm not saying abortion is a good thing. This is what they don't understand. That's a hard choice.
Yep. They don't care.
But
they don't care.
They don't care. All right.
Hey, Todd, this has been a fantastic conversation. They always are.
Hey, I love when we talk, and you know, you're doing a great job. You're going to hear from me as soon as I get it.
I appreciate it because we had another big lick hit. I heard from Haley in Arkansas. And Haley just wiped out the rest of the challenges. And then on top of that, kicked in another $53 more. So that's a total of like almost an entire night's worth of funding. So
Is Haley's last name Comet?
No, she's not related to the Comet Haleys.
Just because it's like a burst of energy.
Yeah, that was a big burst of energy. So thank you, Haley.
Thank you.
Todd, have yourself a wonderful evening. Let's be thinking about what goes on the grill when it warms right up.
You got that right.
All right, you take care. Hey, enjoy that bubblegum pinch.
As soon as I finish vomiting from the first three.
Wait a minute. It's a different kind of chaser. Oh, God. See you, Todd.
I'll see you later.
Later. God, that was good. So let's wrap this up. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. I do so enjoy your company. And I hope you enjoy the conversation as well, and the news and the carrying on and the cussing and the discussing. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal both. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you this evening to Gary and to Brian and to Haley. Thank you so very much indeed. Thank you to Will in Chicago. It is profound. Thank you. Brendan just jumped in. Thank you, Brendan. That's tremendous. We've got a day's worth of funding just here in the waning moments of the program. That is amazing. Thank you so very, very much. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Keep getting better, Ben. It's frustrating and annoying and maddening, but just keep getting better, my friend. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine when you can. Until then, if you have to be out and about, wear your mask, wear two masks. Put the disposable on top of the one you on top of the good one. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear nitrile gloves where possible. Use hand sanitizer liberally. Carry a little bottle with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance 15 feet at least between people wearing masks. If someone is not wearing a mask, well, between here and that little known Jovian moon called Philly is still too close. And if, of course, if somebody comes toward you saying, hey, we're all going to go down to the Ritz-Carlton in Cancun. It's a great hotel. It's a bargain at $309 a night, and they got great security. Y'all won't come? Avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.